This week, Bungie gets caught with its hand in the cookie jar by displaying one set of experience points earned, but granting another. They reportedly disabled this behavior, but imply it could be back with changes. There's plenty more news, and it all starts right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, November the 26th of 2017, with episode number 708 of our show. Joining you live over the next few hours to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle, myself, Rob Roberts, also known as Sky on Twitter, S-K-I-E, with my co-host, say hello over there to Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Why do they always want the fish that I don't have?
Who may or may not be addicted to a certain cell phone game we're going to talk about later.
Don't you judge me.
How was your fundraiser last week? We missed you.
It went really well. We managed to donate a little over $300 to the Sacramento AIDS Foundation.
That's great.
And played bingo and gave away lots of fabulous prizes.
There you go. Oh, fabulous prizes?
Yeah.
Shoot, I should have canceled on the show too and went, oh well.
Well,
maybe
no,
next
but
time.
It was for a good cause, and yes, a lot of people can benefit from the work that we did.
So. Yeah, no, and I totally said last week, you know, if she's going to miss a show, raising money for charity is a pretty good excuse. So
yeah,
there you go. And it is that season, and I hope everybody here in the States, if you are listening to us here, hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And, you know, and I know this is going to sound cheesy, but we are really thankful that you guys, you know, some of you tune in live on Sunday nights at VogNetwork.com and participate in our chat room, which I'll plug more thoroughly in a minute here. Some of you participate with our podcast stuff. Some of you have been doing this stuff for years, and I have no idea that you're out there because we never hear from you on Twitter or email or anything.
We want to hear from you.
Well, yeah, we would love to, but at the same time,
come forward, stalkers.
I respect the internet anxiety of not wanting to say hello because I've been there too. So no worries, but I do want to say thank you for supporting the show because this show did not run for 15 years on, you know, nothing. So
I ran on kitty kisses and sheet cakes.
That feedback is very important. Yes, kitty kisses. Now that we have over there officially, his name is, because many of you have been asking since last week's show, Mr. Smush is our new kitty's name. So, and by the way, in true 2017, what do you call it? I'm not millennial. I'm not Gen X. It's Shillennial. What is the new one?
No, it's Zennial.
Zennial. Okay.
In with true, an X.
In true Zennial fashion, I have set up an Instagram account for Mr. Smush, which you can follow, and it is at Mr. Smush.
I haven't even done that for Midna yet, although she has a Tumblr.
You have to spell it out, M-I-S-T-E-R, Smush.
I have one for Midna,
do you know Tumblr. Do you know one of the first people that followed Mr. Smush on Instagram? Tiara's dogs.
Hobbit dogs?
Yeah, the Hobbit dogs. All right. Anyway, I have to say hello over there, of course, to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Have you set up Instagram accounts for your cats?
No, because Facebook wants me to set up an Instagram account for myself, and I'm like, fuck off. I don't want to do this. And yeah, then like, I get friend requests on Instagram. It's like, oh, you got some friends that want to follow you on Instagram. I don't have a fucking Instagram account. Stop trying to tell me I do. Like, I purposely shut this off, and you put it back
on. We made one for you out of convenience. Don't you want to Instagram? Don't you want to follow Mr. Smush on Instagram, you heartless beast?
I'm sure it'll do it anyways, whether I want to or not.
I know. I'm just waiting to see the whole, don't you want Mr. Smush to get a Facebook? It's like, Mr. Smush is a cat. They're not allowed to have Facebooks. Anyway.
About time I got a horse mackerel.
Oh, God. You and this Animal Crossing thing. All right. We're definitely going to talk about the Animal Crossing mobile game. I do want to get into our kickoff topic, which will be about that, actually. But first, I do want to acknowledge our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Black Wolf show.
My cat had a live journal.
Did your cat? That's right. Your cat did have a live journal.
It still technically does, because I don't think I ever did anything with it, because I still get
reminded. Well, now it's owned by the Russians.
Yes.
But yes. But that's, you know. All right. Looking in chat. Let's see. Tiger Claw in chat says, so I heard you went to PetSmart. Did they have any Black Friday deals, say, on kitty litter and such? Actually, no. Well, here's the thing. We went to PetSmart because we just, you know, we've only had Mr. Smush for a week. So there's still some supplies. And I notice Alan really spoils this cat. I mean, we spoiled Sanrio and Maruko when they were here too, but we really spoil this cat. And we, is he smooshing your hand? That's why we call him Mr. Smoosh Stark Saga. Okay. It's just not just the face, but the hand. Anyway. So we went to PetSmart and we were trying to get, I don't even remember. Oh yeah. Oh, we had to get a litter box with big walls on it because Mr. Smoosh really likes to kick litter, and it was all over the floor in the old litter box. We had to get a litter box with the high walls. And I was actually kind of looking around like, oh, I wonder what's on sale because it's Black Friday. I don't think a single damn thing was on sale, but does a store like PetSmart need to have sales? Like,
I can give him Midna's taco costume.
You will starve before you let your pet starve. That's the way a lot of people are. Not everybody, but most people are like that. Most pet owners I know would let themselves starve before they would let their pet starve. And I would just, you know, they're gonna always buy the pet essentials. Well, you will notice, Mr. Smoosh, we bought a purple sparkly bow tie. We did, so that would be the special that we bought. We bought him a purple sparkly bow tie, and he actually let us put it on him, and he kept it on. It's so adorable. Anyway. Enough about cats. Let's talk about video games. Actually, something a little more important than both those things, actually. I wanted to address this at the top of the show. And since I know you all are tech savvy enough to subscribe to podcasts, and you probably use social media one form or another, I'm sure you've all heard about this by now. But I do want to stress this whole net neutrality thing, okay? So if you haven't heard... Well, to be fair, we have listeners that live in other countries, so maybe they haven't heard. So they're trying to backtrack on what's called net neutrality laws here in the States, and I'm going to really, like, grossly oversimplify things. But basically, we had a law that was signed into effect a few years ago that basically says internet providers cannot discriminate and treat some traffic different than others. A great example, before this law was in, AT&T would not let you use FaceTime on the iPhone unless you paid for, like, a more souped up type of plan, because my assumption is that AT&T saw this as competition. Well, what ended up happening is that all these other knockoff video chat apps really took off, and people were using Skype and stuff, and then net neutrality laws came into place, and AT&T couldn't do that anymore because they couldn't, you know, charge more or less than one thing for another. And so what's happening now is that our current administration, the current FCC chief, has basically
promised... You mean
promised,
Sir Shithead?
Well, I try not to get political on the show, but honestly, this net neutrality thing is something that I see people on both sides, like, understand why we have new net neutrality and why it would be bad that it went away. So I kind of feel like this is kind of okay. Like, as a person who lives on the internet, like, I think this is pretty clear cut and dry. From one element, I understand in a way what Comcast, at least what they're trying to say, is the reason for this. So Comcast is trying to say what they're trying to stop happening is basically illegal traffic. They want to be able to stop BitTorrent, okay? And to be fair, I get that. I'm not going to defend piracy of Game of Thrones and shit like that. Like, that part of it, I'm not going to defend.
But BitTorrent isn't illegal traffic. BitTorrent is a client.
Bingo. And here's where we get into...
Let's just block all web browsers because, you know.
Well, see, and that's where I get into, I don't know if I trust Comcast. I don't know if I trust anyone to do this right, because what is going to be the algorithm that shows if something is illegal or not? And let me tell you, having this podcast that we do here at Orange Lounge Radio and having the Voice Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, like, we've been doing this show for over 15 years. And nobody takes us seriously still, which, you know, it's fine, whatever. We're hobbyists. We're you know, I gave up on the prospect of getting famous from this a long time ago, and that's fine. We have a small family here that we love and adore, and that's awesome. But the reason why I say that is that, let's say that internet radio is deemed a form of piracy. Well, who's to say that they're not going to suddenly, like, block VOG Network or something like that? And what if there's these broad strokes, you know, about oh, there's this giant download of an MP3. It must be the new, you know, Taylor Swift album. And these things start getting blocked. And you might think I'm being a little bit crazy here, but I think the precedent is there with what happens on YouTube and their automated algorithms is you see shit that shouldn't be getting blocked all of the time. And I understand that YouTube...
Well, just this week, whole channels were deleted.
Yeah. For sure.
Conan's channel was deleted. I want to say, God, there were some other big YouTubers. Like, there's a ton of channels just went poof, gone. Yeah.
So anyhow, the long story short, if this whole net neutrality repeal happens, like it's not going to be pretty. You know, I do think some of the graphics you see out there on the internet where ISPs would charge $5 for Facebook and $5 for gaming and all that stuff, I don't know. I'm a little bit apprehensive as to if that would really happen to that degree. But hold on before you get out your pitchforks. But this whole thing with the loot boxes we've been talking about ad nauseum on the show for the past couple weeks has just gone to show that companies in it for profit, be it video game companies or cable companies, they'll dip their big toe in the water trying to nickel and dime you. And if that works, they'll put their foot in the water trying to nickel and dime you. And then they'll put their leg in. And then they'll put, you know, the whole waist. You know what I'm getting at here, right? Is that we might go back to this whole like AT&T just kind of does the FaceTime thing first. And then kind of see what happens there. Or, oh, we're only going to block BitTorrent. That means that, you know, independent games that are free, that are distributed via BitTorrent, are also going to get impacted. You know, and then where is that going to lead to?
It's going to lead to another file transfer service that someone's going to make. I mean, it's just like how they want to basically say, well, listen, we want to write to be able to throttle stuff. But don't worry, we're not going to throttle anything. Trust us. And if you don't want to throttle anybody, then why are you fighting and paying so much money to politicians to throttle stuff?
History has shown us that in terms of money-making facilities for profit companies, they will murder to get their bottom line. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to look just even as far back as 100 years ago. You know, look at the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire. Look at the molasses flood. I mean, we've got history on our side that shows that companies will pretty reasonably, once you give them an inch, they will take a mile.
And Bobby Blackwolf in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says the only reason it could happen here is because we don't exactly have regional competition for ISPs, so the free market can't work it out. Exactly. Comcast is the only option here. I had a guy come to the door just not even within the past week going, oh, hey, we're trying to be a competitor to Comcast in this area, and we wanted to know if you'd be interested in switching. We got some great deals. And I was like, I was actually into it at first. I'm like, oh, great, Comcast has a competitor. Well, tell me about your internet packages. And he's like, oh, well, actually, we only compete with them with television. We don't have a high-speed internet service yet. And I'm like, God damn it, that's the one thing I was willing to I don't give a shit about TV anymore.
Well, yeah, it's like Comcast or AT&T. And it's like AT&T, our high-speed 6 megabits.
But I would be willing to go to high-speed 6 megabits, which means backwards, a big step, to have open internet.
I know it won't.
And what Bobby, and again, to fully kind of go with what I'm going with here with what Bobby said, you know, he's right. In most areas, Comcast is your only option, or, you know, whatever the provider is in your area is the only option. And here's my thing. Does Comcast believe enough in this that it's willing to split itself up so that we can have competition, so that the free market can regulate itself? Because I bet the answer to that is no.
No, they're already have agreed.
Trying to get bigger.
Yeah, they're letting them get bigger with different things. I mean,
yeah,
they've taken back a lot of different regulations that were in place to stop these monopolies.
Right.
It's all, he's basically, as they would put it, like the FCC is a compromise. A compromise agency, basically. So it's under control now by these big companies. So obviously, anything that they're doing, he's getting a big payout at the end somehow.
So anyway, you know, and what does this have to do with games? Because I'll tell you what, if there was ever something that is a premium Xbox Live, PlayStation Network, Nintendo Network, those are going to be the first things up for, you know, an additional fee. Those would be the first things as a gamer. What does this mean to you if you're not in the U.S.? Well, you know what? A lot of the content you guys consume, including this particular show, a lot of it comes from the U.S. So absolutely, this could have a trickle effect on, you know, what happens in other countries as well. So anyhow, I know
communications needs to be, not with the current administration, but I strongly feel that there needs to be, that instead of privatizing it, it needs to be, brought under, I would probably say even just
government agency.
Well, that's what I think what they're doing now. They're trying to bring it under the FTC, but I don't think that they have enough manpower to be able to regulate all that.
Well, honestly enough, I believe that our country itself is too big to govern properly, but that's a whole other
Oprah. Yeah. Anyway, which, by the way, did you know Oprah had a podcast? I didn't learn that until this week, and I was like, well,
must not have been very good.
Actually, she had an interview with Joe Biden that was really good.
You know what? We've been doing this longer than Oprah, okay?
That is true. We have been podcasting longer than Oprah, but I'm not going to lie to you. I did have that moment of, well, if Oprah's podcasting now, should I just quit? I'm not going to lie to you. I'm like, if Oprah's here, I mean, that's it. Anyway. Okay. So all these jokes aside and things, it is a serious thing. I think most of you that are tech savvy enough to listen to podcasts probably already have some awareness that this is going on. But I would urge you to take a look at battleforthenet.com for some more information, including some actual protests that are going to be happening. I believe December 7th is the date, and they're going to protest actually at some Verizon stores. And I think that is something that's definitely going to get a lot of attention, a lot of coverage. But you can't just sit there and do nothing. You have to pick up the phone and make some noise. Form letters aren't going to do it. Like the FCC literally came out and said, we disregarded all the comments because they were all form letters. Like they said that. So,
but they didn't even.
I know. But it's out there. So don't rely on form letters. Call. You have to pick up the phone. Call. You have to go out. Be seen. Be heard. Like don't rely on armchair politics.
Honestly, so. Even if they weren't form letters, and they're not. I mean, they're just making excuses. Yeah. They never were gonna. They're by law they have to do that, but they're just like, fuck it, we don't care.
So participate in your government and don't let them do this. And if they do it, you know, that has to be a reality that we have to face too. If this does go through, you have to hold corporations liable, which, to tie this back to gaming, we're seeing happen a lot now with the loot boxes, you know. I don't want to repeat that whole shindig from last week too much, but I think what we've really seen happen is that, you know, EA got hit hard over this Battlefront thing, and that's kind of why they've scaled back. And we have some stories coming up on tonight's show roll where other companies are now starting to, oh shit, we better dial this back before we're the next Twitter target.
I don't even think it's necessarily before the next Twitter target. Is that they see, oh shit, countries are starting to look at this as like, we better investigate this formally to see if this is gambling and whether we're going to classify it as gambling. And they're seeing that their whole source of revenue is going to be just like yanked from under them.
And if there's one thing we've seen in this gaming industry, anytime the government threatens to regulate it, they go, oh shit, and regulate itself. Hence why we have an ESRB in the first place. So anyway, we'll come back to that point in a minute. But first, on a not-so-serious topic, let's change to something that is happy news, I think, for everybody. And that is, you know, we've had some game releases these past couple weeks. A lot of the big end-of-the-year titles are starting to come out. But one of them that I know many of you have been looking forward to, you Nintendo nerds, I'm looking at you, is Animal Crossing for mobile devices. Animal Crossing, I forget the subtitle all of a sudden. Pocket Camper? Is that the name of it? Animal Crossing Pocket Camper.
Some Pocket Camp.
Pocket Camp finally came out on mobile devices this week. Jamie, you've been playing a lot of this. In fact, I see I see you tapping your phone. You're probably playing it right now.
Yes,
I am. So what are your thoughts on Animal Crossing?
It's cute. I really like it. You know, I don't think it could have been much better done than this. I mean, given the limitations. So, yeah, I really like it. This lamp is in the wrong place. Seriously, I've been playing it like I played, you know, old school Animal Crossing. So it can't be, you know, too bad. I've been really happy with it. So
I think it's okay. Like,
well, I didn't ask.
Tough.
I'm kidding.
I'm a gamer and I'm going to share my opinion anyway. Here's the thing. Well, the price is right. It's free. So you can't go wrong with free. I would not buy Leaf tickets, but that's a personal decision. That's fine. That's a personal decision. I have spent money on Pokemon Go, and people have judged me for that, so that's plenty fine. You spend money on what you like. But I would not spend money on this.
treat yourself.
At least that's, well, that's what I say today. Who knows what patches might come into the game at a later date, right? So I like it in the fact that it looks really nice. I know that sounds really silly, but like on, you know, I have the new iPhone 10 and it has that newer screen. And I'm like, wow, the textures on this, like they're really like HD and it really kind of pops. Like, you know, for an old school cartoony style, it really does pop. So like graphically, it's good. And I like the way that some of the things translate into the touch screens, like the fishing and the bug catching is so much easier, right? But I kind of don't like how it feels like it's scenes from an Animal Crossing game. Like, it's like you could go see Les Miserables on Broadway. That's playing a real Animal Crossing game. Or you could listen to the soundtrack that just has, like, I Dreamed a Dream and the 9 other big songs, but kind of skips the rest of it. And you can kind of skip around and listen to your favorite songs. You can have that. And that's kind of what Animal Crossing Pocket Camp is to me. It's like you have these, like, greatest scenes, but they kind of string together in a really weird way. Like, I like the questing system, but I don't really care for how repetitive it feels. Like, I feel there is nothing to do for these little fuckers than get fruit, catch fish, catch bugs, which, to be fair, was kind of all that the regular Animal Crossing game was as well. But I do feel like at least there was more variety where you could find items, how you procured things. You could kind of make your custom clothes. There just seemed like there was more.
Yeah, is there like
do.
More like, can you do the custom stuff in this?
No, or? At least not that I've seen yet. I haven't seen the mailbox or any of that stuff yet. So like I said, it's greatest hits. Some of the stuff is kind of cut, but then you have some other stuff that's kind of like interesting.
Yeah, see, that's the problem that I've always had with Animal Crossing. It's like you take the first one, which is just like this amazing thing.
Right.
They had like the NES games and all that cool stuff in there and all the custom stuff. And then each iteration that came out afterwards, it's like we're removing more things from it. And then we're getting down to this, which this is free. So I guess I can't complain.
Yeah, but you're in this weird place where it's like, but it's free. And that's kind of what I come back to as well. It's like, well, but it's free, so it's not a horrible thing. But here's my thing. My number one thing. Let me just get this out. My number one thing is, and you know, for the people that love this game, I think even you could agree with me on this. I would not want this to replace Animal Crossing on consoles.
Oh, God, no.
And I have a fear it might. Like, everybody's like, when are they going to announce Animal Crossing for the Switch? When are they going to announce Animal Crossing for the Switch?
We got 3 more Pikmin games we got to put out first.
Here's my thing, guys. Has Nintendo said they're going to make Animal Crossing for the Switch? I don't believe they have. And if they keep selling Leaf tickets on this thing, do they have motivation to make one?
Are people buying Leaf tickets on this thing? I mean,
Jamie did. I know other people. I'm not just going to pick on her. I know plenty of people who have. Some of my other mobile gaming buddies have fessed up to doing it, too. So, you know,
I did get into the quarry and I did it to buy more storage space.
And it does. I will admit, I have been enticed because you can craft more than one thing at one time if you spend these tickets.
I have the 3 crafting things too.
So there are things to do. But again, I can't sit here and be like, oh, Jamie, you're so dumb for buying Leaf tickets. And then I sit here and spend money to get 100 Pokeballs in Pokemon Go. Like, I can't. I don't have the fucking conscience to do that. I can't do it. So, like, she buys the things she likes. I buy the things I like. It happens.
Right. And I'm not saying it's terrible. I'm just, you know, it's fine. This is a free mobile game. So
yeah, you're just wondering if that's really the position Nintendo's going to be in.
Because
people really are buying these
tickets. Yeah, because if people are spending a ton of money on this, but then, yeah, I could see that this would be more profitable for them because they're making money constantly.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I am sad that Super Mario Run canceled all Mario console games. Well, you say that tongue in cheek, but my understanding is Nintendo believes that game to have underperformed. So it wouldn't cancel Mario games anyway. And at the same time, Mario's in this weird universe where like multiple Mario games exist simultaneously on the same console. What I mean by that is, you had Mario 3D World and Mario Maker, both like full-fledged games on the Wii U. And Super Mario Run is a unique niche. It's a weird, the whole like nonstop running thing, it's a weird niche and one I didn't particularly care for ultimately. But I think Nintendo like really purposefully wanted to not make a new Super Mario Brothers Wii type of Mario game or new Super Mario Bros. 3DS, whatever. They didn't want to make that game on mobiles. They actually did something to make this very different. But Animal Crossing, it doesn't feel that different. It just feels skipped around. Like I said, like a greatest hits album. That's the only thing. And greatest hits albums are good. Sometimes I like to listen
unless
to
they
Abba
edit
Gold.
Them like that Samantha Fox album.
I like to listen to Abba Gold sometimes, but you know, sometimes I need that deep cut. Sometimes I need to hear Happy New Year, okay? And that wasn't on Abba Gold. So sometimes you have to get the deep cuts. Anyway, SSJ100 Matt points out, there is a KK Slider doing I Dreamed a Dream. Of course there is. Of course there is. And then ActDef points out, I know Pokemon won't be released ever again, only Pokemon Go. ActDef says Nintendo is doing this to promote their games. It's not to replace the original. Well, I hope you're right, because I do think the Switch would be a great platform for Animal Crossing. But I don't want it to be the same Animal Crossing rehashed again. I do hope they really try to. I mean, if this Animal Crossing Pocket Camper is kind of like the love letter to the old school Animal Crossing games, then great, fine. It's a greatest hits album. It's a nice little send-off. But I would really like to see Animal Crossing on the Switch kind of bring some new features. And I'm not talking about like a mall. Like, I would like to see them do more with the online. I would love to see the arcade games come back. I know it's never going to be the NES games, but it's not like Nintendo doesn't know how to make mini games. You know, they could make unique to Animal Crossing games. I would like to see more of the exploration stuff, like how you used to be able to go to the island. I think it'd be really cool if there were other ways you could visit other types of atmospheres, maybe more traveling, and maybe that could be the theme of the next Animal Crossing game, is that you travel around the world or something, and maybe something where there's like different cultures and different towns and, you know, things like that. But the tongue-in-cheek thing is that the cultures wouldn't necessarily have to reflect the cultures IRL. You could go to like the penguin land, and you could go to where all those bitch sheep live and so forth.
Bitch sheep land.
And
you could
because all the sheep are bitches.
You could bury all
have
the
you met Barbara. She's a bitch.
You could bury Ed up to his neck, and I don't know, have the horned dynastids poke him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just need to send Barbara into the Upside Down to be eaten by a Demogorgon.
You know what? Why not put the Upside Down in Animal Crossing? Maybe something kind of neat could happen there.
I would like a sick twist like that.
Animal Crossing survival horror. I'm down. Come on, Dark Sakura. See, that was the thing. The pitfalls, now they have a purpose because they send you to the Upside Down. A survival horror Animal
Remember
Crossing.
Remember the Dream Village? And there was the murder mystery Dream Village, like called Ica Town?
No, I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
And you'd find like the broken dolls and like the weird story it would tell?
Yes.
I still have a save for Ica Village. It was pretty crazy.
As long as Barbara's the first to die. She's gonna be the new... I almost said a spoiler. I can't say it. All right. Some people still haven't watched Stranger Things.
Cat butt scritches.
Anyway, Robert M. in chat says, since the mobile game autosaves, is Mr. Resetti involved? Now, I don't believe he's in this mobile game at all. So that's one of those B-sides that got overlooked on the Greatest Hits album, is Mr. Resetti. But who knows? They might patch stuff in. Who knows? You know, again, I don't hate Animal Crossing. It's free. I'm not motivated to spend money. But she is, so maybe Nintendo's doing something right. And I'm sure more of you out there are spending money on it, too. So there you go, Animal Crossing. Oh, I wanted to check our Discord as well, because I know I like to post little plugs in our Discord. And if you want to join our Discord server, I highly recommend you do. Just go to vognetwork.com/Discord, and you can join the Discord for the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com. Again, that's vognetwork.com/Discord. JD in chat says, I'm mostly enjoying Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. It definitely has that freemium flavor, but I haven't felt pressured to buy anything. I've kind of settled into a play 30 minutes every 3 hours routine. That's from JD on Discord. Dark Tetsuya says, I only play a little bit of it. I just have to figure out where to get the friend code stuff started. Oh, and actually JD kind of answers this too, but I'll answer it here. I see people posting their screen caps of friend codes everywhere, and that's great, but just link it to Facebook and Twitter if you have them. And that's how I found everybody. Just go to Facebook on Twitter and then just add everybody that way. So it does have those links in there. You don't even ever need the friend code. And then I found people that I had no idea played these games that were playing it thanks to Facebook. The one little thing I wish it would do is that it never tells you again who the person is after the first time you add them. Like, I'll be able to see, like, Jamie Summers on Facebook is here as Sakura. You know, I'll be able to see that. But if I forget that she's Sakura, like, I'll never remember that that was Jamie's character if it doesn't, like, because never tells you after you initially add them. That's the one kind of bummer thing that I hope they fix. But I believe that was the case in Miitomo and all that stuff, too. So, and JD points out, if someone else adds you, it doesn't tell you who they are. No, it doesn't, does it? No, it's only when you add them that you know who they are. So there are some imperfections there. But Nintendo online, I don't expect them to ever get that right. JD says, I got a friend request from Pumpkin. And I don't know if it's someone I know or some rando who encountered me in their game. It's not me. I know I'm a prime suspect with all things Pumpkin, but it's not me. I'll give you that. Anyhow. All right, let's move on. We got other gaming things we want to talk about tonight. Let's first, though, get into our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I played Dragon Age Inquisition. I played Mass Effect Andromeda for a little bit. I cannot stop looking at this cat.
Mr. Smush is going to ruin this show.
Smushles. Smushles.
And I say that because we always get distracted by Mr. Smush. Mr. Smush may be the biggest case yet for this show going to video. Because I always said, like, I don't know if it would be fun to put us on cam, but we could put Mr. Smush on cam. And then everybody would watch.
Yep, cat cam.
Yeah.
We call it the Smush cam. But I've been playing some Miitomo. I'm playing Idle Pouring. I think I'm on my third rebirth now. Third or fourth, I don't know.
I don't even know what that means. I kind of stopped, sorry.
Yeah, after, like, you played it once.
I played it once across a week, and then I was
whatever.
Done.
And of course, I'm playing Pokemon Go and Animal Crossing. Click, 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 click. Animal Crossing. No Ed, thank God. No Ed. We got Super Mario Galaxy, and so Dan's been mostly playing it. I have played some. We broke out 4-player arms.
Wait, on Mario Galaxy on the Wii?
Odyssey.
Oh,
sorry.
Odyssey. I know it's hard to keep them all straight. No,
whatever. It's Mario something or the other.
Yeah.
With the giant. Okay, so I have to bring this up. You know how, like, your hat guy lives in Hat Town?
Mm-hmm.
It made me remember the series that was on Pinwheel. Do you remember Pinwheel?
Like, that used to come on at, like, 6 a.m. on Nickelodeon?
Right.
Hell yeah.
And
Pinwheel, spin me around.
And one of the little British shows that it showed in there was the Hat Village. Uh-huh. Remember that?
Kinda.
And I went and looked it up. It was fucking called the, like, Hattie Town Adventures. And the main hat was a sombrero named Sancho. This is, like, from 1979 or something.
My brain, like, kind of combined Pinwheel and Today's Special. I keep thinking they're
Today's
the same
special
show.
Today's Special was fun.
Wasn't Today's Special Canadian?
It was. Like, it was also set in a department store.
Everything on Nickelodeon in the early 80s.
And the lady
was
a mannequin.
Everything. Anyway.
The lady was a mannequin, remember?
Yes.
Anyway. And the puppet security guard.
Yes, I remember. Yes, okay. Yes, anyway. I'm really going to be intimidated by a damn puppet with some fucking pasta mustache.
Whatever. Well, anyway, but it's just that whole game gave me flashbacks to Hattie Town Village or Hattie Town Adventures or whatever the fuck it was called. So, especially the Bobby hat. That's what made me think of. Because the constable in the town was called Bobby, and he was a constable hat. Anyway.
There's, like, two listeners that are. Everybody else is way too fucking young to understand.
You children. I had younger siblings, and I was forced to watch this shit.
Let us 40-somethings have our moment, or nearly 40-somethings.
I got the cat's tail. He doesn't care. And so.
Because you're helping him lick his ass. That's
you know. Licky lick. Licky lick. I do that to Midna, too. We also broke out both of our Joy-Con sets and played ARMS 4-player, which was really kind of cool. And that's kind of it. Hattie Town.
All right.
Just say Hattie Town 3 times fast.
Hattie Town, Hattie Town, Hattie Town.
See, kid, it's kind of funny.
Loki, how was your gaming week?
Well, I played League of Marvel Super Heroes 2, more of that, because I'm just trying to unlock all the characters for my kids. And let's see, what else? I bought South Park, but I haven't played it yet. I really, like, I bought it on PlayStation 4, and then since my wife hogs the TV, I really should have tried it on, I should have gotten it on PC, in hindsight. But, you know, I figured I'd pre-ordered it originally on PlayStation 4, and I got the free copy of South Park, The Stick of Truth, so I was like, eh, I'll just do it again on there. But I tried to do the whole, like, I haven't, like, I was doing the PlayStation streaming on my old laptop, which is pretty old, and my new laptop, I'm like, well, shit, this should do it way better. Oh my fucking god, their app is a piece of shit. Like, first off, apparently there's this issue where there's, okay, so you start off, you load in everything, you sign up your account or whatever. So I did all that. And so I have two-factor authentication. First, before the two-factor authentication, they want me to do a reCAPTCHA. And it's like, okay, click on all the pictures that are a car. And keep clicking on them until there are no more cars. I will tell you this much. I was clicking on that fucking picture for 30 fucking minutes. Because every time the last square had a car picture in it, I'd click on it and another fucking car picture. And it kept doing that over and fucking over again. Until it finally let me in. And then after all that, then he wanted to do two-factor authentication with my fucking phone. And after all that, then it didn't fucking work very well. It's like laggy as shit. So, fuck you, Sony. Your stuff sucks. And apparently this is an issue that anybody that uses the PC app for, you know, PlayStation streaming or whatever, it's been going on for over a year now that they haven't just fixed this shit. It's just been fucking broken for a while now. So
I miss the CAPTCHA we had at Vogue. The whole like play a mini game. That thing was awesome. The company shut down. We didn't want to get rid of it, but the company shut down. It was tragic.
Well, I don't have a problem doing a CAPTCHA because most of the time it's like 5-10 seconds at the most. It's just like click on the picture, okay, done. And this shit was just, it was broken. Like, you could tell, like, there'd be stuff, like, and it was like, it's, all of them were cars or street signs or pictures of streets. It's like, okay, well, here's a picture of a street sign. Does that still count as a street? Because I know it's a picture of a street, but you're showing me just the street sign. Is that line in the background, is that a street? And so it was just all fucked up. So finally I got it to work after 30 minutes, wasting the whole night doing this shit. And then come to find out it's laggy as fuck. I'm just like, my internet is fucking great. My network is great. My wife at the time, because it took so long, wasn't on Netflix. So there is no reason with gigabit, you know, Ethernet that I shouldn't be able to stream this shit. Yet for some reason, nope, not going to fucking happen. I just don't know. I give up. So that wasn't a thing. So, yeah, I didn't get to really play a whole ton of stuff other than Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2. I did end up playing more of the stupid cell phone games and stuff. Ironically enough, not any Animal Crossing, because honestly, I was bored of that game after 5 minutes. Like, I played it, I'm like, okay, this is what this game's going to be. I can't see myself doing this. I can't see myself just going and gathering stuff to make furniture that I don't give a shit about. I can't play this anymore. And so that's kind of where that was. But yet I'll play this stupid fucking Office Space clicker game that gets fucking worse.
Everybody has their weakness.
All the time. It's just like, it just gets fucking more and more, you know, complicated and just like watch more ads bullshit. But it's like, oh, give me more of that. I can't stop playing that. And no VR games because, once again, I just was too lazy to set it up. But I'm going to. I want to. It's like, the other day I was like, should I play Lego Marvel Super Heroes or all these VR games I have? And I'm like, I don't know which VR game I want to play. I'm just going to go play Lego Marvel Super Heroes. So I did. But that's it.
All right. My gaming week. Honestly, not a whole lot besides my usual cell phone stuff with Ingress and Pokemon Go, which both of those games are having double experience events going on right now. And I actually find I'm kind of grinding Pokemon Go a little harder than Ingress, but Pokemon Go is nice because the Pokemon are kind of everywhere, whereas Ingress, you have to, you know, go to specific places. So
yeah, Pokemon, you can kind of open the app and play at home for a little bit. And
I try to do both, obviously. I try to do both, and, you know, I will go out on walks and things, and there's, you know, places near where I work where there's both portals and Pokestops, and I will use my little, you know, Bluetooth device to play both games at the same time. Now that I have the iPhone 10, I have much better luck playing two games at the same time that way. So it does allow me to do that. But I haven't been particularly motivated to, like, because I'm in that stage in Ingress where I'm level 15, but not 16. And, like, 16 is as high as you can go. It's, like, the highest you can possibly go. But I'm not, like, okay, I hit level 16, then what? Like, once you hit level, what is it now, 10, and you can submit your own portals and rate the other portals? Maybe that's 12. I don't remember.
Well, yeah, they did the rate thing. That was a while ago. Then they just added it where you can submit stuff now.
Yeah, once you hit that point, it's like, well, I can do everything I need to do. So the rest of it is just – but, I mean, not to say, like, you know, I still have fun playing the game. And once in a while, you know, I'll need that zen moment of leaving the house and – making fields in the neighborhood. And
now,
you know,
do the badges that you get from the yearly things, do those count towards your badge counts on Ingress for levels and stuff?
Yes.
Sweet! I'm going to get the level up!
Oh, why? Because you're getting a gold badge and it's like the one thing?
Yeah,
holding you back?
Like platinum or something.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's funny.
All right, I'll be 13.
Woohoo! Congrats. All right, but then Pokemon. Then Pokemon has the new thing, which I know we'll talk about later in the show quickly. But, you know, that game's still fun, and I'm grinding that. Actually, I will say this, because I'm level 35, I think, in Pokemon Go. So what I want to do is I do want to hit both level 16 in Ingress and level 40 in Pokemon Go. And then I should get some type of certificate for that, for, like, sickest individual alive, right? Wouldn't I get some type of acknowledgement for, like you have an AR disease? Congratulations. Like, maybe that'll be a thing. So there you go. But I have been playing at home. I've still been playing Heroes of the Storm, which I play. I try to do my daily gold matches every day to get my daily gold. I finally threw him money. I finally gave them money just because I've been playing the game so much. And I fucking wanted Junkrat. So I bought them with real money. So there, I got suckered into it, but it was a free game, and I've played it for many, many hours, so I don't feel that bad doing it. And then another game, of course, I got suckered back into playing. I think I talked about this last week. I started playing World of Warcraft, and actually I've been playing it, like, a lot.
Are you on the regular server?
No. I went somewhere, and I rolled just to be somewhere. Like, I'm not playing with anybody, so.
Because I'll be honest, I actually might be re-upping.
Oh, there you go. I don't know. Like, I've been playing, and there's things I like, and I really like what I'm hearing about this next patch they're going to do, which is where it's not going to like, all the questing is going to scale. Like, that was the best part of the expansion, is how the quest in the new zones scaled. Do you remember that? And, like, so it didn't matter which zone you did. You just go did what you want. They're doing that for all the zones. So, like,
so that'll be great.
You level 0 to 60 in any classic WoW zone. That'll if you want to go straight to fucking Swamp of Sorrows and start your new character, you can do that. You're going to have the level scaling, and then I think it's 60 to 80. You can do either Northrend or the Burning Crusade content.
No, nor Northrend. That's amazing.
Yeah, you could skip one or the other altogether. For me, I really like the music in Northrend, so I'd rather just
skip. I like the music, but I hate the questing.
Yeah. So
except for the Zandalari.
And then I think they're combining Cataclysm and Pandaria, which I think will be 8, which is great, because Cataclysm fucking blows. Sorry. So, well, Panda isn't much better, but those quests are better, so I would do those. And then, yeah, so, and then you have the normal Warlords, Draenor, and stuff. So I think that's really cool what they're doing. But don't get me wrong, I'm still a big, big fan of Final Fantasy XIV. It's just somehow I've now been suckered into paying for two MMOs. I think I bought 1 month of WoW, and I thought maybe I could make enough gold to pay for another month. We'll see. But playing WoW does make me realize, oh, these are the things that I kind of like better in Final Fantasy XIV. Like, I actually think I like running dungeons better in XIV, but then when I play WoW, I'm also like, but these are the, it seems like there's kind of more to do in Endgame in WoW than there is in Final Fantasy XIV.
That was the thing that let me lead 14.
Yeah.
Is there was just not, there was jack shit to do once you were done with the main stuff.
Mm-hmm. So they saw that they added the ability to play songs as a bard now?
Yeah, that was something they added in 14. I haven't really played around with that yet, but yeah, the whole perform thing like make your own songs. That's kind of neat. But, you know, Final Fantasy 14 kind of needs just a few more things like that, and it'll be well. I think, but this is personal opinion. I think the story in 14 is still superior. Like, I think the Heavensward and especially Stormblood, like, those stories are so fucking good. Like, they're better than just about almost any other game in the Final Fantasy, like, franchise. It's that good. So it definitely beats WoW. But that's a personal thing. I also know some people that are super gung-ho about Blizzard that love the story in World of Warcraft and can't really get into Final Fantasy the same way. And it just goes back to money for leaf tickets or money for Pokeballs. What is your preference? You know, whatever you want to do. So anyway, that's where I missed. I'm up to level 67 on my Resto Druid. I just started, like a week and a half ago? It was whenever I got back from Seattle. It's about a week and a half ago. So I'm making pretty good progress, I think. SSJ100 Matt in chat says, SSJ100 Matt in chat says, time to bring back Horde House. That's funny. As far as the other thing goes, I'm loving these names for the certificates. JD in chat suggests, you've kept Niantic afloat. ActDev says, Niantic still exists because of people like you, Badge. I forgot to mention, there's a huge Ingress event in San Francisco on Saturday. So that's like another thing. So I'm actually legit concerned I might be late to next week's show because of said event. So if the show doesn't start at 6, I apologize. Or Jamie will just have to figure out what button she's got to push to make it start. But Alan will be here to let you guys in. So no, I'm not thinking that'll actually happen, but it might. So we'll see. Anyway, there we go. Let's get into some other housekeeping. We're still going to be here for the next few weeks, but Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve are both on Sundays, so I highly doubt we're going to have live shows either of those nights because I'm pretty sure I have to do my family stuff on Christmas Eve. And Jamie, I know even though you're Jewish dance family, you celebrate with them Christmas Eve, right?
Kinda.
Usually. Yeah, so
we usually just do Christmas Eve stuff and then Christmas Day stuff if I'm not working.
Yeah.
And I think I'm working.
So we're probably not.
Actually, no. I may be on leave.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, regardless. Oh, yeah. And by the way, we're not going to say too much about it, but Jamie's going to be absent from the show for a couple weeks due to some other stuff. So nothing bad.
Weren't we talking about, like, I think doing maybe an early show on, like, maybe New Year's?
Maybe New Year's Eve. A lot of that's going to depend on her and her schedule.
Okay.
So we'll let you know. Right, Jamie?
Well, and if anyone who I trust well enough wants to ask me what's going on, I'll probably tell you.
Yeah.
But nothing public.
It's personal business. That's all they need to know. And it's
ain't
not
your
bad.
Biz.
And it's not bad. That's all they need to know.
No.
All right. Anyway, I think that's it for housekeeping.
I'm just having cybernetic parts put in.
She literally is going to be the Bionic Woman now because
we've
been calling her Jamie Summers since, you know, the beginning of time. So she's getting the implants.
Yep. I'm going to get the leg and the arm and the eyes.
She's going to get a leg just like Rose McGowan and what was that movie where the Grindhouse?
The Grindhouse.
Yes.
Planet Terror.
Yes, Planet Terror.
You know, I actually saw a really...
And next time Loki's critical in Nintendo,
I saw the good Halloween costume of an amputee who did that.
Oh,
she
nice.
Looked perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into some gaming news, Loki.
So as we kind of mentioned when we're talking a little bit about the whole net neutrality and loot box thing, certain countries and states have kind of weighed in on the whole loot box stuff. So one of the states that actually kind of came out and made a comment about it was, of course, Chris Lee from Hawaii, who actually was making an announcement talking about that loot boxes demonstrate predatory behavior and that they want to combat that. And, of course, you know, they're talking about, you know, basically saying that EA is being very predatory towards people, saying that this is like a Star Wars themed online casino designed to lure kids into spending money. And it's a trap, because that's totally a Star Wars thing to say.
No, you have to say it. It's a trap.
It's a trap.
Thank you, Loki.
You don't look quite like an encephalopod, though.
That's a compliment.
I looked like a homeless person earlier today until I shaved. But yes, so of course, you know, they're going to look into that to see what they can do to maybe, if it comes down to fighting it, including blocking a regulation. Along with that, other countries have weighed in. Belgium was one that actually they had a kind of a translation from an article saying that, you know, they saw them as demonstrating, while it's not exactly gambling, it does demonstrate a lot of the same things that you would see with gambling, having that same kind of appeal as people would to like different gambling games. France has come out as well against it, saying that basically that they're also, you know, very predatory. One of the things that they were talking about was, the ARJEL, which is a French organization that regulates online gambling. Basically, a letter from French Senator Jérôme Durain basically said that, you know, they wanted them to look into this because, you know, since there's, you know, been such an advancement of gaming culture, basically talking about, you know, esports and microtransactions and loot boxes, seeing whether or not that these need to be regulated like online gambling because of, you know, the way that, you know, people are spending money on this. And he wants to see, you know, kind of like how China's done, where more transparency in the drop rates to help players, you know, make more informed decisions. And, you know, also just kind of making sure that they're not doing anything shady, kind of like online gambling. Because, yeah, I mean, if they're basically putting this out there in a way that they can kind of skirt around the laws because you're buying fake currency to, you know, do this stuff, it seems like that they shouldn't be able to get away with that. Because if you think about it, like if I have, you know, if I'm trying to sell drugs, which is obviously illegal, but I say, no. I'm not really selling drugs. I'm selling this picture that I drew on a piece of paper with a pencil, and you're just getting the drugs for free with that drawing that I did. You can't do that. That's still illegal. You know, even though I'm saying, oh, well, I'm not selling the drugs. I'm just selling this picture. Something similar to that. It's like, oh, no, we're not spending real money on it. You just buy this fake currency that you then spend on the gambling. It doesn't work that way. You wouldn't be able to buy, like, you know, California crystals to buy California lottery tickets with if you're underage. It doesn't work that way. So, I don't know. I definitely hope they look into this a little bit more because I'm all for them getting rid of this bullshit.
Do you think it's going to come to that regulation? Do you think
if these...
the gaming industry has a tendency to kind of back down? And I kind of think, like, I think this backlash that's happened against EA, other companies have to be noticing it.
Yeah, I think that they definitely notice it, and it definitely will have an impact on it. But, like, a lot of the times, you know, where they're saying they need this for development, you know, costs and stuff like that, look at EA's direct words, what they were talking about. They may have mentioned to their investors about, they're saying that this is going to have no financial impact on them. You know, the fact that they're, you know, removing these temporarily. So, if it's going to have no financial impact on them, then why do they need to be there in the first place? Obviously, to make more money. So they could do it without it. It's just they want to do it with it because they're going to make more money. I don't know. I think if they keep pushing and it keeps moving in this direction, obviously now they kind of took too much of a leap. But if they still try to inch it out even further, then yeah, there's going to be more backlash with it, including, you know, now that it's gotten mainstream press and stuff, more regulation, you know, regulatory bodies looking at this type of stuff.
I think it is going to come to the point where they're going to have to be transparent about the percentages of drop rates and these things.
Or just how about this? How about stop being fucking, you know, assholes about it and just, if you want to sell DLC, sell DLC. That's fine. But the fact that you have a random loot drop, that's fine if it's an in-game thing like Borderlands. Random loot drops all day long. But that's in-game. That's part of the game. It's not this, like, I have to spend money to buy loot boxes, which, God forbid, you know, Take Two. We'll see that in Borderlands 3. But, you know, it's not necessary. It's definitely no one's going to look at it and go, oh, well, they're not trying to make money off this. I mean, obviously, they're trying to make money off this. And the fact that it's random is so that you're not guaranteed to get what you want in it so that you will spend more money on it. And that's, they're not selling a service. They're selling just like a lottery, which is gambling.
Is it weird to hear lawmakers talking about this? Do you think they'll get it right? Because I noticed what's, you know, something that we kind of have to get used to is that it kind of felt like in the 90s, like lawmakers didn't play video games. They weren't in touch with it. But now, you know, 30 and 40 somethings, we grew up on video games. Everybody kind of knows what a Nintendo is at this point.
I don't think they'll get it right. And unfortunately for them, that's going to work against the gaming industry because the way they're going to perceive it, because people say that it's like gambling, is they're going to call it an online casino. Star Wars themed online casino.
And if that happens, then it's just done. Loot boxes are gone.
That's going to happen.
They'll be gone from Overwatch too, which is going to be, because, you know, again, Blizzard seems immune from all this because, and I you know, to be fair, because it's cosmetic.
You know,
I'm
sorry if they get caught in the crossfire with it, but you know what? Activision Blizzard, you're not 100% innocent. You guys did it may not necessarily be as much on the Blizzard side of things, but Activision, they have their fair share of bullshit that they've been pulling with the loot box stuff. So they are equally the blame for this. And I'm sorry, if it comes to that where all loot boxes basically are just gone, well, you know what? You kind of had yourself to blame for it.
All right, I don't want to rehash the loot box thing too much more, unless, Jamie, you wanted to add something, because you weren't here last week for the big kickoff topic on that.
Yeah.
But if you do want to email us, of course, you can always continue the conversation if you want. It's your show. Participate at orangelaundry.com if you want to send us an email. But I will point this out, because this is an interesting kind of other side of things. Now, this is a game that was a whole free-to-play thing that both Loki and I have talked about ad nauseum on this show.
Yes.
A little game called Clicker Heroes. Remember when we were all into Clicker Heroes? Well, I didn't know that. Did you know Clicker Heroes is getting a fucking sequel? Because of course it is.
Uh-huh.
Of course it is, right? But here's the interesting thing about it. So with Clicker Heroes 2, Playsorist has decided, you know what? We're getting rid of the free-to-play Ruby mechanic. We're getting rid of it. And if you don't know what the Ruby mechanic is, once in a great while, a Ruby will drop that you can click. And then you use the Rubies to buy premium stuff. But of course, if you want to just buy, what is it, like 10 Rubies for 99 cents or whatever it is. I don't know the exact ratio. You can do that. And that's with the PC version, the PlayStation version, all the versions.
Which makes sense because it's a free game.
Right. It was a free-to-play game, to be fair. What is it? Mr. Smush, what are you doing? Oh, God. Hold on, guys. Mr. Smush has one of my free Chuzzle toys from EA. Remember Chuzzle?
It's for the cat.
I know.
All things are for the cat.
I know, but I don't want him to destroy that. That's like a keepsake at this point. Okay, Mr. Smush, don't tear that up. Okay.
Okay.
Hold on.
Shall I just go into my story?
Not yet. Loki, finish off my thought.
All right. So, yeah. So, basically, instead of going the whole free-to-play route, they're actually going to be, you know, charging money up front and not having all of that free-to-play stuff. So they're going to actually charge $30 for the sequel, which, that's interesting. I'd be curious to see how the game plays.
Yeah, I'm looking at the screenshots, and it looks like they tried to take a little more, like, it looks a little more Diablo-esque in the way, at least, that it looks, but I can't see how the main game mechanics are going to change that much. So we'll see. But what's also interesting about it is they basically said, the developer PlaySaurus kind of says, you know, we've made a lot of money off of what they call the whales, which are, you know, the free-to-play, you know, mechanics. But they said, we don't want this kind of money if it came from anyone who regrets their decision, if it made their lives significantly worse as a result. We really don't like making money off players who are in denial of their addiction. And that's what a large part of free-to-play gaming is all about. Everyone in the industry seems to rationalize it by shifting the blame, assuming way too much cognizance on the part of their victims. So isn't that interesting that they're coming out and basically saying people are addicted to this shit and we don't want to enable it anymore?
I can see that. I mean, the clicker games are quite addicting. I've never been compelled to buy currency, though, in it. So there's that. But, you know, I'm willing to pay for their game if it's decent. I can't really tell based on the screenshots, but it was fun for a while. I don't know.
I mean, I spent $10 on the rubies at one point, but that was more of a, it wasn't that I needed to do it. That was more of a, and that's all I ever spent was $10. It was more of a, I wanted to pay something to the developers for like all the hours I spent playing the game. I was kind of like, you know, they deserve a little kickback. And sure, getting the double gems power up or whatever the fuck I bought right away, that's a nice little kick too, but that's it. Like, I'm only ever going to spend $10 on this. Yeah. Whereas, like, seriously, don't ask me how much I've spent on Pokemon Go or how much gas I've put in my car because of Ingress. Like, just don't. Don't ask. I don't want to tell you.
So, yeah, I mean, it's fine. I don't have a problem supporting developers like this. And it's good to see that these people, even, like, someone that, like, it would be very easy for them to just, you know, keep this type of thing. And they could defend it with saying, listen, it's a free-to-play game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard to argue that. But the fact that they're saying, listen, no, we don't want to kind of... We've kind of thought about it, and we don't want to be a part of this problem. You know, that's pretty noble of them, I guess. But
do you think that maybe they've determined, like, that the average amount people spent was $30? And that's
probably. They probably can make more money.
I worry for them because, well, maybe not. I mean, if the average was $30 and they sell a lot of copies of it, then they'll make the same amount of money. I kind of don't think they will sell. I think
$30 for this type of game is going to be a hard sell.
That's going to be a stretch, and it's going to be the type of thing that ends up on Steam sales.
Yeah, I can see picking this up.
I think most people
will
buy it for $10.
Five.
The first Steam sale opportunity. Yeah. But, I mean, maybe, you know, again, I eventually dropped $10 on Clicker Heroes, so if I drop $10 on this, then they made the same money off of me on either game, so who knows. Dungeon Buster in chat says, I heard about this story. Pretty bold move, but their reasoning was also very interesting. Bobby Blackwolf asks, so, serious question. How much have you spent on Pokemon Go? There's honestly a part of me that says, I don't have to answer this question.
I plead the fifth. I take the fifth.
Do we count the devices that I bought, like the Pokemon Go Plus? And the gacha, although the gacha was a gift, so do I really count that?
Probably not.
While this game has been out a year and a half, easily $250. But how much have I paid for my Final Fantasy 14 subscription in that same time? It's probably about the same. I would say I spend about as much on this game as I do on an MMO subscription. And it's kind of a similar thing. You know what's interesting, though? I've spent more money on Pokemon than I have in Ingress, to which Niantic actually gets the money, if that makes sense. I mean, because I've put gas in my car, but Niantic doesn't fucking get anything from that, right?
Right. And Niantic, to be honest, they don't really sell that much.
I know. I've bought $10. No, I think I gave the game $20. To buy the $10 worth of capsules and maybe like one set of frackers ever. But I also bought a very rare kit when I went to their anomaly. So I would say maybe over the 4 years I played Ingress, $100 tops. Tops. On money that Niantic actually gets a part of it.
I think I spent maybe like $20, and all of that was from the free Google survey thing where you get money from doing their surveys. So technically no money, but, you know.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I only asked that because you said don't even ask me. I didn't think it would work. Well, there don't say I don't do things for listeners. Raginator says, so multiply by 10 to get the real amount then. No, I was honest with you. It's about $10, probably about $10 a month, and then you figure it was $30 for the first device, about $40 for the second, maybe a little extra money during one of the events. I'd say $250 is a fair guesstimate because that game's only been out about a year and a half. So I bet some people have spent more.
But see, that's the thing, is like, you know, like, I don't have a problem with people spending that kind of money on these games, because it's not that much when you're talking about the length of time that you've had the game. Man, that cat really wants that food.
Mr. Smush is being a terror.
I'm eating fish cake.
Oh, he probably thinks it's kitty soft food.
Kitty, that's my papa.
Poor Mr. Smush.
It's like, okay, a little bit for you, just, and I'll,
like,
take the rest.
Jamie stuck out her, like, she put just a little tiny piece in her hand to give to Mr. Smush, and, like, while her hand was out, he fucking jumps around it up on the table and sticks his nose.
Down, 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 down,
Okay.
Anyway, sorry. Cat's distracting. But anyways, yeah, so, like, I don't have a problem with people doing that, but it's, like, it's when you try to shadily do that after, like, you know, like, EA, for example, when you're trying to, you know, oh, we're going to charge you $60 for the game, and we want you to still pay this $10 a month as well. It's like, no, come on.
Bless you.
So.
All right. Well, we'll move on. Dark Soccer, if you're able to keep Mr. Smoosh at bay there to get to our next story.
Oh my god. I'm eating like
he sees you're distracted.
Gobo fish No. No.
Do you need me to go put
poke,
him away?
Poke, poke. No, I'm just gonna keep poking at his paws. That's what I do with Midna.
Okay.
So basically we have some assholishness. Basically the developer Gazillion who does Marvel Heroes. No. Geez, Smooshy. You're pushy smushy. That's what you are.
Okay, I'm going to put him away. And,
no. Okay. So anyway, basically everyone at Gazillion got laid off. They were supposed to get laid off at the end of December. Well, this happened right before Thanksgiving. If that is not the dick move of dick moves, then I don't know. I hope they got paid through whenever.
I heard they weren't even getting like PTO cashed out and all sorts of like...
That is bullshit.
We went fucking broke today type
that
of
is
shit.
Bullshit.
Yeah. It's really unfortunate.
Yeah. So anyway, a good number of players of the game have already started asking for refunds because it's been less than 6 months, you know, and they are well within their rights. So I hope that they can get the money. But then again, you can't get blood out of a stone. So,
yeah, like if they couldn't even pay their employees PTO, like you're not getting money without a lawsuit. Like it's just not going to happen unless they run it up the flagpole and go all the way to Disney. And it if it starts to become an ugly PR thing for Disney, who, let's not forget, owns Marvel, if it becomes an ugly PR thing for Disney, then maybe something will happen.
But yeah, Disney doesn't own the developer.
It doesn't matter though. They pulled the license.
Yeah, they
so
pulled,
I would still.
It's kind of their fault.
It's still an image thing. And you know, if the whole backlash with Star Wars Battlefront 2 is anything, just
they
copy in Disney on any all your complaints, and I think you might get better traction that way.
Well, they have the money for it, so no one's really worried.
They'll just up theme park prices again. All right. Well, in all seriousness, you know, that is really unfortunate to those developers. And so we're thinking of the developers and hope that they can find new employment. And it's one of those few times you see the really good side of Twitter is that I did notice there were gaming companies like, you know, Blizzard and like there were some other companies that, like right away were like, hey, if you were impacted by what happened at Gazillion, we're hiring for these positions right now. Call us here. Email us here. So at least there's like, yay, that's the good part of social networking. You know, we really hope the folks at Gazillion can land face up somewhere and this doesn't completely ruin the holiday. For every door that closes, another opens, et cetera, et cetera. Let's hope that that works out. So, all right, moving on. Another story, Loki.
So apparently Bungie has announced that they're changing the way that they're handling Destiny 2's experience points. And this, I guess, comes after some players had raised questions about how the system was rigged. So, you know, basically, like any other game, you would earn experience points, and you after you get so much XP, you level up. And then once you get to level 20, which is like your soft cap, they call it, then you get a Bright Ingram every time your experience bar fills up. And so with that, you can, you know, buy loot boxes and whatnot. However, they, I guess, had this event called Clarion Call, I guess, which gave bonus XP to players when they were joined by at least one of their clanmates. And they were saying that during the event, some players noticed that the longer they played, the slower they'd progress, despite the fact that they were repeating the same activities. So the first time player would earn like 5,000 XP, and then they would see the, you know, large chunk of the XP bar fill. And the second or third, 15th time, they earned the same number of XP, but the bar would, you know, fill even smaller.
So it was like a curve, like that the bar was filling like at a curve rate or something.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
Instead of it being, you know, where it was supposed to be, you know, this constant leveling, they were kind of tweaking it a bit to make it so that you earn those Bright Ingrams, i.e. loot boxes, slower and slower.
If it was just doing that with experience points, I would have no problem with it.
Or it's like the gas meter in my car in reverse, where like it doesn't go down like for the longest time. I'll drive around and it's like my gas meter doesn't go down at all. And then all of a sudden I'll be like on a quarter tank and just like, phew, it just like runs to empty all of a sudden. So it's the reverse of that. Well, I mean, I'm glad they are putting a stop to it, because that's pretty shady. Like, how do you even justify that?
Yeah, and their comment was, you know, we've seen the community discussion around XP gain in Destiny. After reviewing our data, we agree that the system is not performing the way we'd like it to. In other words, you guys noticed. Today, we'd like to describe what's going on under the hood and talk about what you can expect going forward with earning XP in Destiny 2.
How about just make the bar an accurate representation of percentages? Like, is that too much to ask? Like,
no.
I'm sorry. Do you know how much fucking, like, corporate speak was just in those words that came out of your mouth that literally meant, like, and I'm not blaming
well,
you.
Well, and here's
that literally meant, like, oh, we got caught. Oops.
Well, literally, the explanation, too, doesn't make any sense either, because it says, currently, XP will scale up when playing longer or fixed duration activities like Crucible, competitive multiplayer matches, or Leviathan raids. And says, and XP will scale down when playing activities that can be quickly, repeatedly chained, like grinding public events. We're not happy with the results, and we've heard the same from the community. Oh, fuck you. We're not happy with the results. Oh, my God, this system is failing us. Bullshit. You're unhappy that people noticed and complained about it.
And this is why I never got to level 20, because I never had to see any of this stuff. Ha-ha! I fooled you.
I always get, like, miffed when they just say, oh, yes, you know, we're disappointed in the way, you know, we're disappointed in, you know, the data that we've, you know, said. Dude, you fucking programmed the game. You can't tell me you didn't know what was going on. You had to plan the system out, so you knew full well how the system was working, and it's just that, oh, you got caught, and so now it's like, oh, well, we're disappointed in ourselves. We'll do better next time. No, you won't. No, you won't.
And I'm glad I never played it.
What's up? Destiny 2 is like, it's a beautiful game. You know, the little bits I have played on PC, it's a gorgeous game. And it is, you know, for somebody who doesn't even really care for shooters that much, it is kind of fun. But all this endgame bullshit really sounds exhausting.
Well, it just sounds to me that they want people to earn those bright Ingrams slower so that you get tempted to buy loot boxes. Could be. That's what I think it is.
But that's how you earn loot boxes in Overwatch, is you earn them as you gain experience playing matches. But, like, Blizzard didn't feel the need to fucking lie on the bar about what percentage you are to a certain level. It's just so weird to me.
I don't know.
Like, who thought that was a good idea and that they wouldn't get caught with all the theory crafting?
Or at least be upfront about it. Like, hey, you know, if you play this event, you'll get, you know, the full experience. You play it again, it's going to go down or something like that. And people at least are aware of it.
Well, here's a publisher that's been doing something and has not been, quote-unquote, caught until now. But this is a very different type of situation. This is the one that kind of makes you go, wow. And this has to do with the game Axiom Verge. And it came out this week that the publisher, who's Badland Games, has been doing something for Tom Happ, who I believe is the creator, the sole dude behind, like, these games. So anyhow, Tom said in a passage here, I'd like to take a moment to give a special shout out to the publisher Badland. As you may have seen elsewhere on my blog and Twitter, I try to be pretty open about my son's health situation. In short, he was born healthy, but the doctors failed to treat a routine case of jaundice during a critical period when he was just days old. The result was a lifelong condition called Kernicterus. I may or may not have pronounced that right. That is characterized by severe neurological damage, which robbed my son of much of his motor control and hearing. The reason I mention this is that after we decided to move forward with Badland Games as the publisher, they offered to donate 75% of their share to a special fund dedicated to Alistair's ongoing healthcare costs. They didn't want to publicize it since none of us wanted to be seen as trying to use my son's suffering as a marketing tool for the game. I hope this doesn't come across that come off that way. I just wanted to thank them for their generosity in offering that up, since it was definitely something they didn't have to do. And so a lot of people have kind of gone, well, I'm going to buy a second copy after hearing about that. So, you know, good guy, publisher, Badline Games.
Yeah, the first game was good.
Oh, yeah, that game's great. Axiom Verge is great, especially if you kind of have that itch with Super Metroid, you know, that kind of needs to be scratched. This is a great, great game. You definitely should check out. You know, I have to admit, though, and, you know, I don't know if it's just like the internet womp womp part of me or the fact that I've worked in healthcare for the past few years, but my first thought was, why are the healthcare companies not paying for this? And that was kind of where my brain went. I was like, why? If, you know, everybody's supposed to have health care or, you know, there's always Medicaid or whatever. But I did research and I tried to figure out what's going on. It turns out it's because of the condition. I guess there's not a lot of
I've heard of this.
Yeah. FDA or whoever approved stuff. So it sounds like the child's going to Mexico to get treatment where the industry is not as heavily regulated because this condition is so rare. So I will say I kind of put it under that eye and I was like, oh, okay, this makes sense. I understand why they need to raise money, although they've been doing it quietly.
The issue with this particular thing is it actually concerns the chemical that delivers that controls hemoglobin to deliver oxygen to the body, and it's in excess of that. So it's pretty serious. So I hope that he can find the good treatment for it.
Well, I hope he's made lots of money for his son off of this game, and I hope the son is able to get a little help there. So that's why, and a lot of people have kind of gone, that's why that game's never on sale. So that might kind of explain it a little bit there. So anyhow, there you go. Axiom Verge, a little news there with the publisher. Let's move on. Dark Sakura, a few more stories, then we'll get to the classic game of the week.
Well, there's been a 20-month suspension of a League of Legends champion player named who goes by Vasily Li Weijun. On his Twitch channel, he screamed and threatened his girlfriend at the time, overturned furniture, and basically issued threats severe enough to warrant a visit from the police. And so just after that broadcast finished, the team he was on ended their contract with him. They just booted him out. His girlfriend left him, as well she should have. Although she said that he didn't beat her, but he did smash everything around them. And that he did the whole thing on the live stream, so it is out there. And basically the League of Legends Championship Series said per their code of conduct, that he is under 20-month suspension, and that after that expires, it's up to other league teams if they want to sign him. Although they do understand that he had a history with, quote, violent tendencies, and that he showed physical aggression on stage by smashing a keyboard and intimidating a camera operator during a match. They are considering looking into lifelong bans for that. But this is what gets me is that, well, I'm sorry, an indefinite ban, quote fingers, that they give indefinite bans for cheating, you know, for match fixing and cheating. But they didn't put it on there for threatening the well-being of another person.
Yeah, like, you know, with this whole story and what you're saying, I was like, okay. You're like, yep, they're doing what they have to do. Up until this part where you said he'd done this type of violent shit on stage before. Like, this is an ambassador for your game and your brand on what is, you know, a very well-watched thing on Twitch. And, like, you know, I don't know. Maybe the media hasn't gotten as in depth to this, but like, where was the fucking slap on the wrist when he was yelling at camera operators and smashing keyboards and shit? Like, that should have been squelched then. Yeah. That should have been a spanking then.
Well, but
I swear to God, some people's children.
But on top of that, the other thing is that they're treating, you know, cheating as a bigger offense than threatening another person.
Yeah. Yeah. No, hear you loud and clear.
But they did, Riot Games did admit that it had a wide range of offenses that would be listed underneath it, and that they didn't anticipate having a situation where a pro player would turn out to be a domestic abuser. I'm going to interject one thing here. Humans, no matter what they do, can be garbage.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen garbage like, you know, asshole from my state, and Weinstein and all of those garbages out there being garbage. What's to say a gamer can't be garbage like this guy? This guy is garbage.
And I'm sorry. They kind of had a hint.
Yeah, they knew. But no, he's a game. No, he's garbage. And he should have been treated like garbage and thrown out the first time he was acting like garbage.
Or rehabilitated and recycled into something usable.
If he can even learn. I mean, sometimes people who...
That's up to the person, ultimately.
Yeah, yeah. You have to want to change. And if there's no incentive to change, you're just going to keep being garbage. Sorry. Yeah. If they can get away with it.
Because he was getting away with it.
Exactly. You need to hold...
I'm sure he'll go to rehab. That's what everybody does now.
You need to hold garbage people accountable for being garbage. End of story. That rant over.
Okay. All right. I don't know what else to say with that. I'm looking at our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDev says, hasn't anyone learned from the fighting game community? Dungeon Buster says, I'm surprised he didn't get an indefinite ban right then and there. I think that's about the Smash keyboards and stuff. William Murderface says, what's next? Someone says a slur, one or the other, at a tournament, and Riot says they did not anticipate that could happen.
Well, Riot Games also, though, didn't answer why they chose 20 months instead of indefinite. But, I mean, having a policy that vague just opens the door for more abuses, for things that people, you have to have.
This isn't somebody playing a match online. This isn't somebody like just a user of the game. This is a professional who's being paid to play this game.
Exactly.
Big difference.
And on top of that, I mean, if anything, it should be something in the contract too, that there can be punitive damages for the, I would expect like the negative PR that it gives the company, you know, that while you are playing this game, you are a representative of the company, you know.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But no, he's garbage.
All right. Well, sometimes you have to just paint over the garbage, right, Loki?
Yes, you do. And way to transition into talking about Splatoon 2.
I tried. I really tried with that.
You tried.
Which is not hot garbage?
No, it's not hot.
No, it's a lot of fun, actually. Well, actually, Splatoon 2 did have a garbage weekend, and it was that weekend that mayonnaise fucking won versus ketchup.
That was the best week ever.
That was garbage.
Because ketchup is disgusting.
No, mayonnaise is actual garbage.
Mayonnaise is delicious.
Anyway.
Anyways, so Nintendo announced that they have quite a bit of updates coming soon to Splatoon 2. So one of these actually is coming in mid-December, which is a brand new game mode called Clam Blitz. So in Clam Blitz, you basically have to collect different clams that are scattered throughout the stage. And after you pick one up, they'll follow the player around, and then you have to get them into a basket that's near the opponent's base, and they have like a shield around them. So in order to do that, you'd collect 10 clams and then throw this power clam in there to basically score points. And the first team to 100 wins. Yay. So that's interesting. And then along with that, of course, they've got some new stuff. 4 new battle stages coming out. So they just released one this weekend with Mako Mart. And then I guess Schellendorf Institute, Walleye Warehouse, and Arowana Mall are going to be coming soon. And I guess they're saying that there's going to be new Salmon Run stages as well. So I guess they're saying that the Salmonoid Smokeyard is going to be added to the rotation. They have new gear, so 140 pieces of new gear as well. Shoes, headgear, clothes, and you know, they said additional winter clothing as well. New battle music. So they've got, I guess, they said 2 new bands in the game. New hairstyles. So they have 4 new hairstyles, 2 female, 2 male. They've raised the level cap from 50 to 99. And then I guess they also have the ability to, I guess, like the prestige, you know, they would call it in Call of Duty, where you can reset your level and continue raising the level from there. New amiibo function. So they're going to have, I guess, tapping the amiibo in the game will allow you to share in-game photos. And I don't know if it doesn't. Oh, we can add filters and stuff.
Also, we'll do those videos too. I guess probably too much for an amiibo.
Yeah. And also, I guess they're saying that they're going to allow you to swap gear a little bit easier. So you'll be able to change gear between battles in regular battle, ranked battle, and splatfest battles.
That was one of those things I couldn't believe wasn't in there. You could not change your gear between battles. Thank God.
Yeah, so that's finally cool. Didn't mention though if you need the app for that, because I know that wasn't that one of the things that the app was for, is like switching gear.
Could. It was like additional gear you could buy, and you could get it. I don't want to say the shady marketplace, but it just kind of was, you know, it was just another way to buy gear basically and different stuff. And you can also see like what teams your friends are on and so forth. The chat room is saying that the update is live already, by the way. This isn't something that is coming. It's done already here.
Well, yeah, some of the things I know that were coming, but they mentioned that, you know, one of the stages was released and then the rest were coming soon.
Got it.
So I didn't think it'd be like the very next day.
Well, and this is the good news that, you know, all of it's free, essentially. And this is the good thing that Nintendo has not figured out loot boxes yet.
Just can't get that online
working. Am I right?
Yeah.
All right. ActF says, yeah, you buy special gear through the app, not change. Fifth Dream asks, can we get this update for Final Fantasy 15 Comrades 2, please? That's one of those things I need to go back and visit. That free.
I still need to play
Comrades
through 15.
Update. Oh, you should. It's worth playing through.
I know. It's just, I'll do it one of these days. Mm-hmm. Maybe like a whole, maybe 2018, I just buy no games and just play through like 500 games I have in my backlog.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, Nintendo definitely figured out loot boxes. What happened at the end of every stage in Super Mario Brothers 3? Yeah, but if you would run and get your P meter full and jump at a 45-degree angle, you could hack those loot boxes. You always get a star.
That's what the Toad Houses were for, though.
That's true. You could hack that game, too, though.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that, too. Wasn't it based on where like the Hammer Brothers was or something like that?
Something like that. There's a certain place on the screen that you look, and every time you push the button in that position, and that's where it'll stop.
Hmm.
Anyway. So, yeah, you can hack the shit out of that stuff because it's not online. I say hack, but it's not really hacking. That's just getting good, as they say. All right. Hey, one of the games that I really liked, and I don't remember if this game had loot boxes. I guess it kind of did. It had a loot wheel, but I don't remember buying spins on the loot wheel. Maybe that was something you could do. I don't know. But it's Forza Horizons, what I'm talking about. And Forza Horizons by a developer called Playground Games. And what happened is that they actually announced back in February that they are making a non-racing game. Gasp. Which, sadly, does that mean we're not getting Forza Horizon 4? Or did that get passed to a different developer? Or is there two teams now there? Or what's going on? I don't know. We don't know about that. But anyway, all we know about this non-racing game is it's an open-world game, but they are apparently working, based on new reports, it's an open-world action RPG. They have hired talent from Metal Gear Solid, Hellblade, Suna's Sacrifice, and GTA 5. This all comes in a report from GameIndustry.biz. And they obtained the new details on this studio that they're forming to work on the RPG. So Playground brought Sean Eystone, Will Kennedy, and Juan Fernandez de Simon on the project, and they are all from those different teams I named a little bit ago. So they said, we're delighted we've secured a second studio to house our new team. Oh, there's the answer. This is a hugely exciting project that is already attracting world-class talent to Playground. The combination of new blood and experienced Playground team members is already showing huge promise, and I'm excited to see this talented group contribute to Playground's continued success. That is all from CEO Gavin Rayburn. So there you go. Awesome. Yeah, I'm really excited to see what they come up with then, and that's good. That means that Forza Horizon 4 really could still happen, and it could just all be the Hot Wheels thing. It'll be what was that game that Atari did back in the game with the loop? Hard Driving? Was that the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Forza Horizon just needs to go
oh,
full on hard driving.
Oh, the nap machine.
What?
The hard drive in the nap machine.
Oh, yeah. Well, the cabinet was so big you could get in there and take a nap.
I'd used to.
It's like the old
at work.
Test drive games.
Yeah, yeah,
I remember
right?
playing like the old test drive games that were like.
I do.
The graphics were as shitty as the hard drive.
Dungeon Buster suggests in chat Kingdoms of Forza, The Reckoning, minus Kurt Schilling. Well, let's hope so. I don't think that guy's ever going to make another
I want
game.
A racing game that's set in like the medieval times, or you just fight with. Like, it's an action RPG featuring just real racing cars that. You just, I don't know.
All right,
let's, how it'll work.
Let's take a trip down memory lane to the classic game of the week. Back in the day when you didn't have your studios were limited to 3 cartridges in a calendar year. And if you were going to make more games than that, you just had to open up a second wing. Hello, Ultra Games, Konami. I see what you're doing there. It's a classic game of the week. You know that was a thing, right? That because the Atari 2600 went, because there were just garbage games coming out for it.
Yeah.
That if you wanted your games to come out on Nintendo, Nintendo limited you to 3 games a year.
10 games.
But well, that but that's when somebody reversed engineered the cartridge.
Well, or, I'm sorry, not Tengen. What's the other one? There was another Konami studio that was.
It was Ultra.
Ultra, that's right.
Ultra put out the Ninja Turtles game and Metal Gear, didn't they?
Yeah.
Metal Gear Snake's Revenge. Anyway, the classic game of the week. This particular selection was after all that, though. Actually, right?
Yes. Well, after that.
This is actually one of those it just turned 10 picks, right?
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm. Super Mario Galaxy came out in 2007. It came out for the Wii. Remember how much shit we gave them for the Wii?
Let's suppose that you're writing a really...
Okay.
I thought I got rid of ads on... Oh, I switched my browser. That's why.
Girl.
Sorry about that, guys.
Anyway, it also was re-released in 2011 as a Nintendo Selects title and downloadable via the Wii U's eShop in 2015. Mario has to go rescue Princess Peach while saving the universe from Bowser this time. Because, like, bitch ain't got other things to do. Basically the galaxies were all, like, little planets. And you had different variations of gravity, different things that could go on. You'd have different platforms to move around. And basically, it took concepts that came from Super Mario 128, which was a tech demonstration that from Nintendo Space World in 2000. The development began just after that tech demo came out. And it was actually after the release of Donkey Kong Jungle Beat in 2004 is when that came up. So, and it was actually a suggestion by Miyamoto himself that Nintendo should commission another large-scale Mario game. And so it was... There you go. It also was one of the first games that had... the first Mario games that had a symphony orchestra with music composed by Koji Kondo and Mahito Yokata. Yokota, sorry. Not Yokata. That's the wrong word. Anyway, it was... really considered to be one of the best games of its era. I mean, even today, it won Game of the Year across many boards. And it was the first Nintendo title to win the British Academy Games Award for Best Game. So, there you go. It is the 9th best-selling Wii game worldwide and the best-selling 3D Mario Super Mario entry. So, and of course, it had a sequel, Super Mario Galaxy 2, that came out for the Wii in 2010. So, you would use it, you know, you played it as many games did with the Wiimote and the Nunchuck. Mario's abilities came from Super Mario 64, so he had all of his fun jumps and his somersaults, and he had the star pointer that would show you, it would show up when you pointed the Wiimote at the screen so that you could find different star bits that looked like a Conpeto. So it was really, really just a neat little game. You know, you got your power-ups. You know, you had, like, the spring suit and the boo suit and the bee suit. And you, you know, your health meter was a 3-piece health meter. And, you know, just the usual stuff that you expect in a Mario game. You could get your 50 coins without losing a life, or 50 star bits, or 1-up mushroom to get you extra lives. And you had co-star mode, where one person controls Mario, and the other one basically has a second star pointer that you can shoot at enemies with. So it was really well received overall. The game was a novel concept for when it came out, too, just with it using gravity the way it was. And it was really considered just a fun game. The music was fantastic. Like I said, it was orchestral with a 50-person symphony orchestra. And it fit the game quite well. It sold great. And it has the 6th highest rating on Metacritic. It was a 97 out of 100 based on 73 reviews at the time. So... even, you know, while Famitsu doesn't really give out perfect scores that much, they gave him a 38 out of 40. So, just, they got really, really fantastic ratings. And so, there we go.
It is a pretty fucking great Mario game.
Yeah. And so that's the game, Super Mario Galaxy.
I kind of can't believe it's 10 years old.
Womp, womp.
Thwomp, thwomp.
Thwomp, thwomp. Blarg, blarg.
All right, there it is, your classic game of the week for the Wii, Super Mario Galaxy, which the chat room, by the way, did catch and called out your Freudian slip earlier in the show. Oh, that's why she said Mario Galaxy at the beginning
of the show. That actually wasn't why I said it, but I had been listening to the music before coming up here. And now we're going to open the maple cookies.
All right, yay cookies. That means we're going to take a break.
Have Hokkaido Momiji cookies.
Sure, just make sure Mr. Smoosh doesn't try to eat them all. All right, his ears perked when I said that. That cat is going to ruin this show. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, though. There's much more show to come, including another Iwata tribute. I think it's really cute. We're going to get to in Rapid Fire News. We're also going to talk about what's going on in Pokemon Go, besides me spending money, and theme parks. When we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 708 for this November the 26th of 2017. Enjoying those last few minutes of the long weekend. For those of you that got a long weekend, I know some of you brave souls work in retail and other industries that have you working over the weekend. Even I worked on Friday. Which is weird. I have the type of office job that usually isn't there on Black Friday, but we were there. So I didn't get a full weekend, but I had a nice restful Saturday and Sunday after the fact. So I hope you guys had a nice restful weekend as well. During the break, I know we can't play these on the podcast because, you know, it's a lot of the, you know, we can't distribute someone else's songs and all that stuff. But we did play a song randomly from Soul Calibur during the music break tonight. And some folks in chat, VidPower said, I hope they make another Soul Calibur game again. And Fifth Dream says, yes, we need Soul Calibur badly. Well, it didn't make the show roll tonight, but we had because we addressed it a little bit last week. But there are heavy rumors picking up about a Soul Calibur 6. But now I feel like Namco Bandai, because of that rumor, started putting out conflicting rumors this week, meaning like now we're hearing, oh, it's not being unveiled at PSX. It's being unveiled at the Video Game Awards. And the bonus character on Nintendo is not Link. It's one of the Fire Emblem characters instead. So there's a lot of like noise out there on that front, but it does sound like one way or another Soul Calibur 6 is going to happen, which makes sense. I mean, those Soul Calibur games have always sold pretty well, haven't they? It's been a while. What, Soul Calibur 5 was a PlayStation 3 exclusive, if I'm right, right? Did they put that anywhere else? I know 4 was on Xbox 360 because 4 had Yoda and Vader and all that stuff,
Yoda.
Right?
Yeah. Yoda.
But 5 was only on PlayStation 3, if I remember right. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with 6. It does seem like it should be time for that. Fifth Dream in chat says, Soul Calibur 6 should be insanely beautiful on PlayStation 4 Pro. Bob Coffey says, Soul Calibur 6 probably won't happen until Tekken 7 is done, I imagine. There could be different teams. Who knows? JD says 5 was also on 360. Okay, I must have missed that. 4 was the one that had Yoda and Vader, right? I didn't get that confused. No, okay, I know what it is. Soul Calibur 3 was a PlayStation 2 exclusive, right? That was when they first spread out like the Hula Hoop Girl and the some of those other characters. So, who was the character in Soul Calibur 5? Who was the bonus character they put
was
in that?
Was 5 Vader?
No.
Was that 4?
No, that was 4.
Hmm.
I don't remember who the bonus characters were.
Was it Kratos?
That sounds right. I think you're right.
It was
Kratos,
and then was it Hitachi?
Ezio. From that's right. I think Ezio was on both. Yeah, the game's guest character is Ezio from Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. That's what it was. Oh, there it is. And then they're saying Kratos in chat as well. So there you go. I don't see that in the wiki article.
I thought that was only on Sony. And then no, that was Dead or Alive. Never mind.
Yeah, Soul Calibur 5 with Ezio. Okay, it's been a while. I mean, it's been a while since those games were out. So we're due for a Soul Calibur 6. I'm sure it's going to happen. Anyway, let's get to some rapid fire news and quickly talk about some other stuff going on in the gaming world. Loki.
So this is just silly, but apparently, you know, Sonic Forces has the whole create your own Sonic character that they have in there.
Quickly, Kratos was on the handheld spinoff. That's why we're getting confused. because there was a Soul Calibur on the handheld. That's where Kratos was.
Also on the console.
Yeah,
one.
That's where we're getting confused. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyways, so Sonic Forces, you know, they have the whole thing where you can actually design your own Sonic character to play as in the game. So now they have an update. I guess it's free DLC where you can get a Sonic T-shirt for your character. That's right, Sonic.
But can you get a Princess Zordla shirt?
Not Princess Zordla, I'm sorry.
Zordla.
Just the Sonic.
Danky Kang.
Just a Sonic Hedgehog t-shirt. So that's kind of funny.
What about Petch?
I kind of love how meme-aware the Sonic social media team is. It's pretty great.
It is pretty funny. At least they can poke fun at themselves.
If only they would be aware that we fucking want PSU2. But hey, or PSO2, excuse me. But hey.
And in other Sonic news, apparently there has been a new patch that's been created for Sonic 3D Blast, and this is actually a patch that was developed by I guess one of the lead programmers and founders of Traveler's Tales, who does the Lego games now, and he, I guess he was one of the original lead programmers as well of the game. So apparently, yeah, he's in the what do you do here? So because Sonic 3D is a part of the Sonic legacy, Sonic had a mixed legacy. I'd like to address where I can, my part in that. If I can make Sonic 3 a bit more acceptable to the Sonic fan base within a few days of my time, then great. Why not try it? So he has a Sonic 3D Blast or Sonic 3D Blast DX, the director's cut. I'm not exactly sure what they changed on it to make it better, but I didn't really play a lot of Sonic 3D Blast.
Yeah, that game's kind of hard to get into, honestly. That's you know, out of the Sonic
games. So he fixed some of the handling in the game, it looks like. They have a time challenge mode. They said a better camera. I guess you can save passwords. There's a level editor. A crab that I guess was a prototype thing, just difficulty tweaks, options, palettes, a lot of new stuff. So that's kind of cool. And I'm not sure where you can get the patch, but I'm sure this is the internet. Google it.
All right. Let's talk about some tournament news. Actually, I've got some updates on Genesis 5, which is a tournament not far from here. It's going to be in Oakland this year at the Oakland Convention Center, running January, I think it's 19th through the 21st. And actually, they're saying that the finals, the top eight finals, will be at the Paramount Theater, which is a real gorgeous concert venue. I saw Bjork there back in the day. That was on the Vespertine tour. That's how long ago that was. But anyway, so that's pretty cool that the Genesis tournament, and not to be confused with Sega Genesis, sorry. It's actually mostly a fighting game tournament, and they announced that Street Fighter V is going to be there, but also some older hits, and I think this is really cool, including Super Smash Brothers, the original, as well as Melee and Wii U. DDR Extreme, they're going to have a contest on. That's pretty rad. Not the newer DDRs. DDR Extreme, the one that we had during that long period.
DDR USA. Let's go that far back or fourth mixer.
So these are all additions for Saturday only. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite in there too. Pokken Tournament DX. Act F, you listening? all those games are going to be there for Genesis, so that's really awesome. I noticed Splatoon 2 is going to be one of the games they're doing a tournament on as well, so that'll be fun. Hey, speaking of tournaments, this one caught my eye. Another news for this. January 27th, also in the Bay Area, namely San Jose at Round 1, there's going to be a DDR tournament, and this is really trying to be like an old-school DDR tournament. They are calling this Freestyle Takeover is the name of this tournament that was just announced, and it was announced, of course, on 20 November, which was on Monday, and you can get tickets on Eventbrite, although I believe it's going to be free just to go watch, but it is $15 to compete, and I think it is a pure freestyle tournament. I haven't seen anything for... Yeah, and it even says in the about, a devoted community has kept the game alive through technical feats, score-based feats. Freestyle has laid dormant for years. And I know a friend of the show who's been on way back in the day, Mel B. This is whose Facebook that I caught it on, and I wonder if he's going to do a new freestyle routine all these years later. It sounds like a lot of these guys that were kind of, you know, well-known for freestyling back in the old-school days of DDR and the earlier days of the show might be dusting them shoes off to do some new freestyle routines. So this will be a lot of fun. Dark Sakura, maybe we should go find some orange bats.
I still have mine.
Maybe we could enter. I don't know. Anyway, the first thing I said to Mel when I heard about this was, how can we help here at OLR? Because we're still here all these years later. I would love to go just say hello. And, you know, even if maybe we can, like, donate a prize or something, we'll figure something out. I'm sure I have, like, old V-Rares and stuff that I was never able to give away back in the day. I could throw into a prize pot or something. So we'll figure that out. But anyway, I know I'm planning on going. Hopefully my co-host can make a cameo as well. That'll be the end of next month. Woohoo!
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase trade.
Moving on, Dark Sakura.
Well, there is more coming out for The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Something that's more of a little gift. But basically, hold on just a second. Basically, if you duck down and open a chest, Link will throw out a punching animation. Basically, it's just like a little thing that they've discovered. It was on the Tips from the Wild news channel. So it's just a neat thing. And then in other news, Pokemon Ultra Sun and Moon have a tribute to Satoru Iwata. In this particular one, if you visit the Game Freak building while having a gold or silver Pokemon in your party, they will say that, you know, the developers were helped out by an amazing guy. So there you go.
Yeah, that's a really cute little tribute in the Pokemon games, which I kind of skipped buying them because I never finished Pokemon games. And I'm waiting for the Switch version at this point. That's kind of where I'm at. Mm. So, but I've heard some good feedback on Ultra Sun and Moon. Maybe I'll change my mind.
I keep hearing it as ultrasound.
All right, let's travel around the world and check out what games are coming out this week, although I have a feeling it's going to be really slow, right, Loki?
Yeah, it's definitely slowing down towards the end of the year, especially after the first few months of November. It's just dead until March. So we've got, starting off, Resident Evil Revelations and Resident Evil Revelations 2 on the Nintendo Switch, Little Witch Academia, Chamber of Time on PlayStation 4, Siberia 2 on the Nintendo Switch, the game Paradise Cruisin' Mix on PC and PlayStation 4, 7, The Days Long Gone on PC, and finally, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 on Nintendo Switch. That's it.
All right, traveling to Japan on November 30th, Little Witch Academia Toki no Mahoto Nanafushigi comes out. There's a new Nobunaga game this week. Nobunaga no Yabu Taishi comes out on November 30th.
Yay.
As well as Game Paradise Cruisin' Mix, that same game I think Loki just referenced here in the U.S. That is also out in Japan. Sounds like there's a new Dragon Quest Slime controller, because you can never have enough Dragon Quest Slime controllers. On the Vita this week, Uso Tsuki Shangri-La comes out in a regular and limited edition, as well as Gakuen Club Himitsu no Nightclub.
That's
comes
like
out
school
there.
Club something.
It's always school games, isn't it? On the Nintendo Switch, guess what? Nobunaga no Yabu, also on the Switch in regular and treasure box editions. So I'm assuming this is the first Nobunaga game on Switch. So that's pretty cool. Biohazard Revelations, which of course means Resident Evil, the collection and the unveiled edition, also out in Japan this week. And a whole bunch of different accessories and pouches if you are looking to carry your Nintendo Switch in a hip new way. One more game worth mentioning on the Nintendo 3DS. Act deft, you listening up? Kirby Battle Deluxe is out this week on November the 30th on the 3DS. And if you've been holding off on it, Monster Hunter XX gets a price reduction this week. And maybe Dark Sakura would be interested in the Dragon Ball Extreme Fusion Pack.
Yeah.
All right. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Just a couple of things on the 28th. Black Mirror for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and Game Dev Tycoon for iPad and iPhone.
Black Mirror, like the show? Because that'd be pretty awesome if there's a game based on the show.
Yeah, that's kind of, I was actually seeing that on the release chart I was looking at here. I don't know.
They have a new season coming out. I saw the trailer for that.
They do.
That looks pretty
cool. Is this something about a reboot? of the game. Gothic point-and-click adventure Black Mirror is getting a reboot by THQ Nordic.
Oh, well, that's not unfortunately what I'm looking at.
No, yeah, no, it is not related to the TV show. That is kind of interesting, though, that they have. That looks kind of neat, though. I'd be curious to see what that looks like in motion. Kind of looks like The Seventh Guest to me in some of those things. All right. Sorry, I guess chat room's yelling at me. It's double Monster Hunter Double Cross, which shows you how long ago I kind of... I tried to get into the one on Wii U.
That shows you how little Rob cares.
Yeah, well, I don't want to say that because some people are into it.
It's just Monster Hunter Kiss Kiss. That's all it is.
Kiss Kiss. Monster Hunter Kiss Kiss. I like that better. All right. Let's get to the mailbag. You guys email us and we try to respond.
Try.
Unless we forget, which I guess is the case with one of our emails this week. Participate at orangelaundry.com. This is the place to send your emails. Let's get to it.
Okay. Hey, OLR crew. AZHP here. I'm a bit behind on your podcast due to just recently getting married and being in Japan on my honeymoon. Mazel tov.
Congrats.
And I wanted to chime in about a story you had on October 23rd about IGN acquiring Humble Bundle. You all, like many other people, are under the continued assumption that Humble Bundle is still only a bundle portal, which has sliders for charity. I am not under that impression. You are wrong. Because I know they have a store portal.
I'm just under the impression that IGN's evil. That's all.
I think they're it's been a while. And this was, to be fair to the emailer, this is the one that we forgot to read when it first came in. And I don't know how we skipped it. So sorry about that.
No.
I'm trying to remember where we were at. But yeah, I know they have a storefront because that's one of the things that originated.
I've known this for a while. I've bought games to them before.
But to be fair, I think most people know it from the bundles. Like, you know, at least that's
kind of
where
it started.
Yeah,
but way to assume.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I have to go back and listen to the episode. It's very possible we were focusing on that element of it.
Anyway, the truth is Humble Bundle has for some time been a straight up video game storefront similar to Steam and Origin. IGN is likely buying them because they see future in the storefront and the publishing arm, not in the charity bundle aspect. Loki also mentioned that there were potential conflicts of interest arising from Humble Bundle published games being reviewed by IGN as a publication. Well, this is a valid concern. As a former employee, I will be the first to say that IGN had scummy business practices as all hell. Their editors took their job seriously and didn't let publishers and marketing teams strong arm them into juicing review scores for the sake of the deal. It's been 5 or so years since I've been there. They could certainly have changed, but I don't see a cause for concern there.
I made it. Loki's like, was that the cat? No, that was me making a nervous noise because I don't. Okay. I appreciate the honest insight. It's very blunt feedback. That's all I'm saying.
Well, nobody said that me. While they had scummy practices, their editing was serious.
Okay.
And they gave fair reviews.
That's fair.
So. I also found it funny that Loki said it would be like if Fox News bought Humble Bundle, and that'd be pretty sketchy. I don't know if you all were aware, but Fox News did in fact own IGN for a significant period of time.
Yes, I'm well aware.
And Rupert Murdoch was totally signing our paychecks.
Yes, I'm well aware of that.
Wow. I forgot.
However, this influence only extended as far as the upper management treating employees mercilessly, working passionate people thankless long hours and canning them when they were no longer needed and never manifesting as any sort of spin that was required for articles and reviews.
You know, I hate to say it because this is going to sound really, I don't care, unempathetic. But like, isn't that the entirety of the game industry?
Not all.
I'm not saying it's right. But I'm just saying, like, I unfortunately hear this about a lot of places. I guess it really comes down to where do people feel valued and where do they not?
Yeah. Mm. Most of the editors I was friends with were free-thinking, free-spirited people through and through and would certainly not have been there if they were forced to spin things in the way that Fox News was. Anyway, that was a bit of a ramble, and I apologize, but those are my 2 cents on a Humble Bundle acquisition. As someone who used to work for IGN and has a somewhat jaded view on the matter, yours truly, AZHP. Well, I'm sorry that we missed your email, but we didn't miss the second version.
Thank you for that very blunt and candid feedback. That's
I like blunt.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like it. I just, you know.
I don't censor anything unless you say something shitty. And that's like actually really
shitty.
Oh, in
the email.
Yeah.
Or if the person says, don't read this on air, we usually are not going to do that. Well, you know.
So we have another email that came through the site. I've been listening for the last few years and I've enjoyed the show during my commutes. Thanks for the great show. I was wondering if there's a game you've been given crap for liking. I was recently playing games with my friends the other day, and they were roasting me for being a fan of the Kingdom Hearts games because of its cringeworthy writing. Has this happened to you before? This is signed by Chris. I generally like awesome games, so no. I mean, most of us, we all kind of like a lot of the same stuff.
Let me give you an example. Are there any MMOs you've been playing recently, Jamie?
Girl.
No, are there any MMOs you've been playing recently?
No, actually.
Really? Nothing?
Because I haven't re-upped on the two, and I'm not playing Ragnarok Online.
Addict.
I haven't touched
it. I was trying to set her up for an addict joke, but then she had to dodge all over that question. But that's
because I really wasn't playing anything.
I know, but that's usually us giving each other shit.
Wouldn't it be great if we had like an Animal Crossing MMO for reals?
That's what they could do on the Switch.
They could, but are they?
I'm not going to hold my breath.
Bitches.
An MMO on a Nintendo platform?
Well, hey, it will be fucking noteworthy if it ever does happen. Just saying.
We'll give it 10 years. And then they'll put out
Thank you, Bobby. I should have just got her to talk about Mass Effect. Then I could have said Attic.
Mass Effect.
How many followers does your Tumblr have now?
1,100.
Attic. All right. Anyway.
No. Serious. No. That's not me being addicted. That's people being addicted to my product.
I'm gonna get Mr.
They have the demand.
A+ quality alien penis.
I have to get more followers for Mr. Smush on Instagram. I'm just kidding.
It's a smush with smush.
All you have to do is be as witty as I am.
I don't know if I can do that. So games that we get shit for liking, probably my cell phone stuff like Ingress and Pokemon Go.
What was that one game?
I've been given shit for both of those.
That we were building the apartments in?
Tiny Tower.
Oh, yeah.
That one for a bit.
God, that came up last week. Did that come up on the show last week? I was just talking about that game like a week ago. Maybe. Anyway.
There's been other games I'm sure we have...
Dance Dance Revolution.
Oh, yeah, that might be
that
one, too.
People did kind of give a shit for President Cat, even though we never actually played it unless we were Loki.
Remember that totally fucking passive-aggressive article some website wrote about the whole President Cat campaign about, like, well, internet campaigns don't usually translate into good business sense.
And look at the president now. Wouldn't you rather have a cat as the president? I mean, come on.
A cat taking a shit would do a better job than the garbage we have now. Mr. Smush, please sneeze so that you can do a better job than number 45.
All right, anyway.
Thank you.
Loki, President, what about you?
President Smush.
That's the sequel. President Cat followed by President Smush. Loki, what about you? Surely there's nothing you play that people give you shit for playing. Has ever given you shit for
playing.
That's
like everything. There's nothing that like my wife doesn't give me shit about.
We give Loki shit for never finishing his own game.
That's true, and I haven't really worked on game development. I've been thinking about working on game development. That's been my conflict, but I just haven't done that. I don't know. I mean, I guess one game I like that not a lot of people like would be like Earth Defense Force. I like those games. I mean, if you objectively look at them, they're kind of crap. I mean, so I don't know. But I don't really have – people don't really give me crap about playing games because – I don't know, because who would do that?
I
just get crap, yeah, like for not making my own game, which, yeah, that's fair enough.
I have a legit answer for this, a game that I get shit for liking, because everybody wants to shit on this game and call it one of the worst 8-bit games that they ever made. I don't think this game is as bad as people say it is, Friday the 13th. I don't think it was a great game.
It wasn't great.
But I remember it was certainly one of the first games I remember having legit jump scares at when you're in that fucking house and you turn a corner and then bang, 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 and fluorescent Jason is there ready to cut a bitch.
I've given
like,
my
that
friend,
shit was scary.
I gave my friend Julie shit for liking Mylon Secret Castle.
I fucking owned Mylon Secret Castle. You apologized to Julie.
Well, no, it's just because I didn't like that there was no way to continue. But I would have games that I would just sit and leave my Nintendo on all night and pray I didn't set the house on fire.
That's how you, That's how you had to do it back in the day. I used to do it too, so my mom couldn't see it was on. I would have like a blanket over the Nintendo or something, or like
that'll make it less hot.
Yeah, but like when you're like 9, you're not critically.
I just prop up a cartridge in front of it.
Those
or a cutout of a box.
I don't remember those NESs getting that hot.
I remember it was at the Pocket Station. You know, had limited battery life, but I think if you plugged it in to your PlayStation or whatever, it would still play itself. And so I'd leave that in there like overnight for days, yeah. And then come back and have all these items.
People would give me shit about the money I would spend on games.
Thank you, Doom Plague. That game is underappreciated. I mean, it's not a good game, but it was ahead of its time in some ways. And Dark Tetsuya says, Rygar. I tried to beat that in one sitting. I remember staying up late with my uncle trying to get to the end in one go. It always blew me away, like, how fucking different the NES Rygar and the arcade Rygar are. They're like two completely different games. It's like Strider.
Well, but you know Strider's based off the manga.
One's the manga, one's
the arcade.
Arcade, yeah.
Yeah. But I think the biggest shit people would give me was for the money I spent on them. The very first import game I ever bought, I paid $110 for. And that was to get the Sailor Moon S fighting game. That I learned how to mod my Game Genie so that I could do the Chibi Moon butt attack.
I'm going to wait for the emails this week giving me shit about how much I confessed to spending on Pokemon Go this week.
Girl. I spent $90 on the Rival Schools Evolution release that came out. You remember that one? It had the school life dating sim.
I just remember the Dreamcast game you owned with the fucking dish. That blows me away.
Okay.
You bought a game with
a dish. It wasn't even that great. It was the Cardcaptor Sakura game, yes. And I thought it was going to be like Pokemon Snap with Cardcaptor Sakura, and it kind of was, but it sucked. Because oh crap, why can't I remember her name? Her little friend. The cute little girl that makes all of her costumes.
You're asking the wrong person.
I can't remember.
More of a Ranma question, I would think.
SSJ100 Matt in chat says, Dr. Seuss says Kiro?
No, not Kiro-chan.
SSJ100 Matt says, I think people got a ton of shit for playing RuneScape Tomoyo. Back in the day.
Tomoyo.
Do you know how many people get shit for playing WoW? Anyway.
I played Gemstone. Gemstone 3. But anyway.
Why don't you stop giving everybody shit and learn from your friends?
We have another email.
Oh, okay.
This comes from Robert M. Just seeing how you're doing. I was taken by surprise Tuesday morning when Animal Crossing Pocket Camp launched. I'm having frequent connection issues, which are hopefully server side, launch window jitters, but certainly having fun with it. And yes, that should have been resolved by now. I haven't had any disconnects.
Oh yeah, we never got around to it, but it was the link in the kickoff story was about those issues. Nintendo did apologize for it, and they changed the timing of some things and gave everybody 20 Leaf tickets. How about that?
Hooray.
Woo, 20 tickets.
Ooh, that'll buy you an extra storage slot.
Can you give us our virtual console?
Also, I see the Transformers site I follow has news on an upcoming crossover with Street Fighter. Yes, these are exciting existing figures redecoed as characters from the game. A deluxe-sized two-pack of Generations RC as Chun-Li, with Titans Return Hot Rod as Ken. Then a Voyager set of TR Optimus Prime / Convoy as Ryu versus TR Megatron as M. Bison / Vega. These are, from what I gathered, limited edition Japanese releases from Takaratomi. I looked at the Chun-Li, and I'm like, shit, why didn't I buy an RC? The only thing that I would really want would be another Hot Rod to add to my collection of 50 million other Hot Rods. I think I have like 3 Rodimus Primes and 7 Hot Rods from various collections. So it'd have to go in my collection. And Dan would be like, oh, it's Ken. That's cool. P.S. I do sometimes pronounce the merge company is Takerotemi. Okay, but it's Takaratomi. Anyway, surgical procedure, but only in jest.
We say silly things sometimes. Like, don't we always call Square
Enix? Oh, he's saying Takarotomy. Like it would be a surgical. Funny, huh?
Takarotomy.
Takarotomy. Like,
I don't know. Toporomony. I don't know.
I've probably spent a lot of money at Hobby Link Japan when I was in the height of my, I need every single Hot Rod figure that I've got, like a Canadian one, a Japanese one.
Disposable income is awesome. I don't need to save.
Well, this actually, I bought my Hot Rod collection comes from spite. Because when I was a kid, my mother, and she'll deny it to this day. Mm-hmm. She's like, girls don't play with Transformers. I'll get you another Barbie. Mother, I need to see Optimus Prime die. You don't understand. You don't need to go see that boys movie. So I snuck to go see it anyway.
Of course you did.
And I sobbed. And then I was like, fucking A, Hot Rod's cool. And I, that also kind of started my obsession with, what's this fuck? Right now, I can see him in The Breakfast Club, and I can't think of his
Emilio
name.
Emilio Estevez?
No, not Emilio Estevez.
Judd Nelson?
Judd Nelson. Judd Nelson was Hot Rod's voice. Also, Orson, that was Orson Welles' last role, was Unicron in that movie. Leonard Nimoy.
I'm sorry, but that is just the quintessential Jamie growing up story.
Leonard Nimoy was in that, too.
Yes, I did.
As Galvatron.
Yes.
But anyway, yes. So, I, as an adult, I had a whole shitload of Transformers and a bunch of Hot Rods. I have like a couple of Starscreams, and we have all the Vinyl Tech, a lot of the Vinyl Tech ones, and
all my stuff. Now, see, I was not, you know, don't bring your stereotypes into this, because I was not into Barbies or any of that stuff. I was always into the very like Lego. I'm into all the stuff that Loki's into now. That was the stuff I was into when I was a kid. Legos, especially Constructs, Tinker Toys.
Yes. Tinker Toys were the shit.
My grandma had, I don't know if you ever saw these, but she had Tinker Toys that were like adult sized Tinker Toys.
Oh,
like,
shit.
That's
like,
cool.
Like they, like the largest pole that they had was like a good 4 or 5 feet long. Uh-huh. And like the plastic, like the actual piece, the little round wood things that you plug them into were like the size of, I don't know, like a small wheelbarrow tire or something.
Oh,
like
that's cool.
It was like we used to build like Fords out of that shit, or just use the large green pieces as like bow staffs, because we pretend.
Do they still make Tinker Toys, or is that?
Yeah. They do. They have.
It's probably cheap ass.
It's all plastic.
Fuck ass
it's plastic.
Plastic. Yeah.
Shit.
No.
No. Yeah.
No. No. Tinker Toys are made of wood.
But when I was a kid, though, I also really super loved Lincoln Logs, and I would combine my Lincoln Logs and Tinker Toys to make like this elaborate death trap for all my Barbies.
I'll show you playing with Barbies.
Do you want to play a game?
And no one. And no one could come in my room because these labyrinths would spawn.
The minute the door opened, an elaborate death trap would behead Barbie.
And finally, I think just like they got, you know, broken and thrown away because I kept, you know, making it unsafe to navigate my bedroom.
But my all-time favorite was Domino Rally.
Yes, yes, yes. They sell that now.
They
it's
do.
Dirt,
I saw
it. Is dirt fucking
I saw
cheap.
It store. I almost bought it, and I was like, Rob, you don't have kids.
You know what else is?
I kinda don't care.
Who cares? Who cares? You know what else is also cheap? Like, I remember, like, back when I had, like, Kinex or whatever, and I only really had one set of that, but, like, I remember the Kinex roller coasters were, like, so fucking, like, expensive and elaborate. Now they're so cheap.
And Mousetrap was the best board game ever.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah. Anyway. All right.
That's it for emails.
That's it for emails. Boy, did we get on some tangents with those emails tonight. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send this show into a Barbie death trap spiral. In the meantime,
I was just an imaginative, creative child.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. All right, let's get into some other gaming news. Speaking of robots, right, Loki?
Yes. Ironically enough, I am looking at a picture of a robot, but not anything to do with this article. So Valve is changing the way their review system works to stop from having bots basically manipulate that system. So they've, I guess, having a problem with, I guess, bot brigading on certain games, and including, I guess, anti-review bomb charts and stuff like that that they've added in recent updates. But now they're kind of trying to do some additional stuff with that. So first, of course, they've acknowledged saying that, you know, basically that there's a small group to manipulate reviews to a degree that is clearly decreasing the value of Steam for many other players. And to solve this problem, they're doing a couple things. First, the helpful ratings from the accounts that are far outside the norm will be weighed differently than those of regular, presumably human users. Accounts that rate an excessive number of reviews on games will see the weight of each review rating count for less and less. That's kind of lame if there's someone that's actually reviewing games. I would think that, can you review games that you don't buy on Steam?
I think you used to be able to, but not anymore. If you're gifted the code, then it actually puts a disclaimer by your little review that says a code was provided by the publisher or something like that. Okay. So that whole like disclaimer is up front. I don't believe you can review a game that you haven't played, because it also shows right underneath it how many hours you've put into the game.
True.
Let me ask this question. I just want to ask this general question of our chat room. Have you ever been influenced on buying a video game or not based on like user reviews on Steam? Have you really?
Well, yeah, because like especially like if I'm looking to purchase a game and I see a bunch of negative reviews for it and I start reading them, and it's like, oh yeah, the DRM is causing issues with the game or blah blah blah, you know, it's causing issues with the game. Like for example, South Park, you know, this Fractured But Whole on PC is kind of broken, I think, unless they've patched that recently, but it came out kind of broken because of the DRM in there, and it was buggy, and so that's one of the reasons I guess I didn't purchase it on Steam. But it's good to know those kind of things, or like, you know, other issues where, you know, the performance might not be as good, or especially games I'm not familiar with, and I may see something and I'm like, oh, that looks really cool, and I read, you know, the reviews, and there's usually I read more like in depth to see what they're trying to say and see if there's a common consensus across them. If it's just like, oh, I fucking hate this, you know, there's a lot of people that will just hate on anything, so it's hard to say.
Let's see, comments from chat. SSG100 Matt says, sounds like this is mostly to curb downvote protests. Oh, for sure, absolutely. Other comments from chat asking or answering my question about do you get swayed by these? I'm actually kind of surprised. It sounds like most people are saying yes. JD says, yeah, sometimes. Mega Man X400 says, if the user reviews are overwhelmingly poor, then yes. Fifth Dream says, yes, if people say it's technically shit or really, really crappy. MXC says, I'll look at Steam reviews to gauge how long a game is. Don't have time for a lot of super long stuff, so I generally seek out shorter titles. Interesting. Squatch Killa says, I use reviews on new games mostly. If they get bad reviews, I might buy them later discounted. So weighing if this is a buy it now or wait for a Steam sale sort of situation. So, wow, I guess I'm different in that regard. I mean, I will use user reviews like friends on Twitter, people I know. But I tend not to let randos on Steam influence my decision because I know all these fucking campaigns are run all the time.
Right. Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that I was actually kind of surprised to see a lot of you do use that. Now I feel weird. Maybe
well,
I'm the problem.
Why do you feel weird about it? I mean,
no, I don't know. I thought everybody kind of took the Yelp approach to Steam where it's like, oh, you're only ever going to read the bad stuff. That's how Yelp is to me. Like you either somebody went to Yelp because they're like, no, I have 300 friends on my Facebook. I'm going to slander your company to me and, you know, write something negative on Facebook or Yelp or whatever. Or it's the fucking owner's friend and they wrote a 5-star review. Like you very rarely find the honest shit in between on those sites. So like I don't pay attention to a lot of that stuff. And so I kind of have that attitude with video games. Like everything is either 100% or 0%, and it's never truly in between. But again, it's personal. I'm not, you know, that's why I asked the question. I wanted to see what you guys kind of did with that. So, let's see. Oh, SSG100 Matt in chat says, I wrote a negative Yelp review on a mechanic, and I got bribed to take it down by the shop. I use Yelp to find places that are open because they have business hours listed in there. That's the most I use Yelp for. I don't read reviews anymore. There's too much fuckery that goes on.
Well, not always, because like my wife left a negative Yelp review yesterday for a Chinese place that we went to because she looked at it, you know, because I guess the food, we've been there before and the food's been good. And then lately she got it and like they were skimping on all the like meat, and then the like shrimp that she took a bite of the shrimp in the soup, she's like, that shrimp is not good, you know. And she called up to let them know, hey, your shrimp's probably bad. They're no apology, not even concerned. They're just like meh, and just like kind of brushed her off. And she's like, well, I'm gonna leave a review then. And like the last 6 months there's been a ton of negative reviews for the place, probably because it's like under new ownership or something. So it's good to kind of gauge it. But yeah, I mean, people will only write reviews if they have something negative to say for the most part. I mean, yeah. So I don't know.
So I always take that stuff with a grain of salt. That's just me. Anyway, let's move on. SJ 100 Matt wanted to make it clear I didn't take the bait. All right. Let's move on. Oh, hey, I actually have news to talk about in Pokemon Go, even though I think we've kind of already addressed this. But if you didn't know, there was this big event going on in Pokemon Go called the Global Catch Challenge, where basically Niantic was daring you to catch 3 billion Pokemon in a week. And did they do it? Yes, they did. So the players of Pokemon Go did catch 3 billion Pokemon, which unlocked double XP, double Stardust for, I think, till December 1st. And the biggest one of all, Farfetch'd, the bird that's carrying the leak, has been unleashed worldwide for 48 hours. So that means you have about 24 more hours to catch a Farfetch'd if you haven't already got one. And They have been spawning on my house, so maybe
I'm checking right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I checked my house. I'm not going to go out to try to catch one, but, you know.
But if you do, you only have 24 more hours to do it. But they're not, at least
I know I'm not sleeping.
They're not terribly hard to find. Like, they're spawning about as common as the Shuppets on, like, those Duskulls were fucking everywhere. The Shuppets were plentiful, but not everywhere. That's kind of where Farfetch'd is at.
I just caught a Pikachu.
Pikachu spawn on my house all the time. I don't know why.
He's on a Pikachu nest.
No, but it's not even a nest because nests rotate.
Right.
So I don't know what it is. They must know that nerds live here, so we get Pikachu all the time. So there you go.
Pika.
Maybe that's my reward for playing so much fucking Ingress in Pokemon Go. Niantic knows me personally and puts Pikachu on my house. That's my little...
This is Rab's house, and we're going to put all the Pikas there.
If that's good, how about a fucking shiny Pikachu then? Because that's the one thing I don't have.
Are there shinies?
Yeah, they have like a gray thing on their tail instead of it being like black.
Very few. Pikachu has a shiny. In Pokemon Go, that is. In the regular series, obviously, most everything does, with some exceptions. In Pokemon Go, the Gen 3 Halloween all have shinies. So Shuppet, Duskull, and Sableye. Pikachu has a shiny. Magikarp has a shiny. I think that's it. I feel like there might be one other I'm forgetting. But those are all the shinies that exist in the game right now. So, all right. But there you go. So Farfetch'd was unlocked, and it wasn't just Farfetch'd, because now if you lived in East Asia, Japan, where Farfetch'd was your local Pokemon, you'd feel pretty screwed that the whole world got, you know, your Pokemon. Well, they got Kangaskhan in exchange, which was the Australia exclusive. So Asia got some of this too, so that they got something that was new to them. So there you go. Although if you were lucky enough to be in Anaheim for Pokemon Worlds, you may also have a Kangaskhan living in the U.S. So the only one that has not been released in the U.S. at this point is Mr. Mime. So we'll see. All right. Mr. Mime.
Okay.
Not Mr. Smush, but Mr. Mime.
Mr. Smush is cuter.
That's right. Mr. Smush is way cuter in some
stupid
We
like his little face.
A few more stories before we open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. If you have the Skype app, you can just add Orange Lounge Radio and give us a call in a little bit. Or, of course, the desktop version works, too. And I think it's like fucking built into Windows 10, isn't it? So everybody has Skype.
Yes. You can't really.
Guess who's not on Windows?
Your Xbox.
Sorry, I meant to set up the laptop. I haven't forgotten.
That actually wasn't a read on that whole thing. I forgot about that, too. All right. Anyhow, Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Number one, people need to stop posting articles about cookie butter.
Did you know that that's like the Oreo flavor right now is cookie butter Oreos?
What?
Anyway. It's a cookie already. You don't need cookie butter.
No, cookie butter is fucking magical.
My favorite was when Oreo had the cookies and cream flavored Oreo. I was like, did they feed the cow beef?
It's
like
meta Oreo.
Anyway.
I heard you like Oreos, so here's your Oreo in your Oreo.
This is why I love our chat room. Like I said earlier,
did anyone
in the show,
buy any Prongles during the break?
Once you pop, that's great.
No.
So this is why I love our chatters, even though I said earlier in the show, we'll never be famous, but we have a great turnout here, is because everybody's like, oh no, cookie butter is serious shit. Cookie butter is the shit. And Fifth Dream Ask, is cookie butter a white person thing?
Cookie butter has been out in Europe for quite a while. It's from Belgium. It's called Speculoos, along with the other thing
like
from
Potter
Belgium
spell
that we had? The Stroop waffle. It's among but it's basically just this buttery, delicious cookie paste.
By the way, can we talk about Stroopwafel for a minute?
Stroopwafel.
Because, yeah, I know I mispronounced it, but I don't care. I opened the mail this week, and I have a big envelope in the mail, and it's like kind of like thick. Like I'm like, what the hell did somebody send me in the mail? And it's from Ranma. You know, our good pal Ramu calls into the show frequently, and I'm like, what the hell is this? And so I open it up. I open up the first envelope. There's another envelope inside it. And I'm like, I swear to God, if this is one of the things where you keep, like, it's like the Russian dolls. You keep opening the box, and I get to the middle, and there's just a middle finger printed out on it. I'm going to be so mad. I'm going to fly out to New York and beat him up. But it was a much better ending. So inside the second envelope were tiny little miniature Stroopwafels that I think he got in, still in the wrapper, that I think he got at some anime convention or someplace that he was at. He fucking mailed me Stroopwafels. And again, this is why I love our listeners, especially Rama.
Well, I told you my friend in Belgium, who I met through Dragon Age fan fiction. We did a food exchange. I sent her Pop-Tarts and she sent me like the packaged sugar waffles.
That's what they fucking want.
And Stroopwafels.
In Europe and Netherlands and everything on the other side of the pond, they want the fucking Pop-Tarts.
I sent like orange cream, like orange crushed Pop-Tarts.
Well, yeah, because they don't have anything but like strawberry and blueberry. We have all the weird shit.
I basically sent a gift of diabetes. Anyway.
Care.
So, story.
Where were we?
Super Nintendo World. So there's a few more details for Universal Studios in Florida. The area for the Super Nintendo World is going to be 8.8 acres in size and will be built behind Simpsons Land in where currently the Kid Zone is. The ET ride will stay there. There will be 48 toilets in total. It will take about 3 years to build, and it will be open sometime just after Japan's Universal Studios Nintendo Park opens. There are sections mentioned for Donkey Kong and Mario Kart, both of which will be in both parks. So, yes, Act Deft, I still would like some not Nutella Oreos again, please.
Theme park.
Theme park. I'm not going to be able to eat this stuff before too long.
I know.
Sad face. Give me all the candy. So there was also a Twitter post by Chip Scambus, who I don't know where he factors into it. Maybe he is. He's a designer at Universal. And he was saying that they are going to do a dining area with a total seating capacity of 365 seats as well.
God, what kind of Nintendo food? Are they going to bring back Nintendo cereal? I'm fucking there if I can go buy Nintendo cereal at one of the food carts.
What if we have Conga Churros?
What if?
What if they did banana lumpia?
What if they did those milkshakes, but instead of Fruit Loops or whatever, they put fucking Nintendo cereal in it?
Or what if they have like Star Cupcakes? Ugh. But no, what if they just did banana milkshakes?
Anyway.
Donkey Kong banana milkshakes. Banana milkshakes are the fucking best.
Doesn't matter what we talk about. It just devolves into food.
But those maple cookies were good.
Yes, they were.
Okay. That's it.
Well, when are they going to open this place? I want to go.
I didn't find that. But they said it was a few years. They said it should take about 3 years to construct. Don't die, please.
I think the last thing I read was Japan is supposed to have theirs just before the Olympics in 2020, and then everybody else gets theirs shortly after, so that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Don't die, Rob.
Just a few more stories, and then we'll get to the Skype line. Loki.
All right. So apparently, it's more Kickstarter shenanigans. So there's a developer of this game called Project Phoenix. I guess the director of that is being accused of embezzling $1 million from the Kickstarter campaign. So apparently, yes, it starts off with the game developer Tariq Lacey has accused the director Hiro Akiura of stealing money from the Kickstarter Project Phoenix to fund his latest game, Tiny Metal. And basically saying that the, and of course, Yurik is making his own allegations, saying that, you know, Lacey is accusing Lacey of sexual harassment, which, of course, they deny, and it's basically back and forth and that type of thing. So there's I guess this has been quite a long project. It first popped up in 2013, and I guess since then, you know, it's raised over $1 million from about 16,000 backers. And then 2015 said the game would be delayed for another 3 years. And then April 2017 told the backers that he planned to release a different game first. He explained that he had found some investors who would be willing to help back Project Phoenix if his new game succeeded. And that new game was Tiny Metal, which I guess is scheduled to release December 21st. And now, of course, you know, it just seems like this stuff keeps getting pushed back and pushed back. So he went and turned to Facebook to basically kind of accuse Euro's company of running a scam. So basically said, 2 months after I was hired at Area 35, I had learned that the company funded this project by running a scam through Kickstarter. They gathered several famous creators and ran a campaign known as Project Phoenix, then used $1 million received from the campaign to fund Tiny Metal Project. Here's how it happened. After they received the Kickstarter money for Project Phoenix, they shut down their original company, Creative Intelligent Arts, or CIA, and then used the same money to establish Area 35 and pay for staff equipment and the office to make Tiny Metal. And I guess the company's CEO asked me to deflect any accusations that this money was from any other companies or other than private investors. In actuality, Hiroaki only dipped into his own funds and asked for money from private investors after funding what he had secured for Tiny Metal was running low. I don't know. This is kind of why I stay away from Kickstarter
projects. This is why, yeah, I'm kind of like over Kickstarter at this point, which is a bummer because there's a lot of people out there that are using it legitimately, but there's too much fuckery going. This is the theme of the night. Fuckery. There's too much fuckery going on Kickstarter, kind of like this stuff.
Well, like,
I want to just quickly say, Dungeon Buster in our chat at live.vognetwork.com says, just for context, Divinity: Original Sin and its sequel have been released in the time Project Phoenix Kickstarter started, ended, and ran into problems and is still not done. I'm still waiting for Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night.
True. But we at least have seen something playable.
Yeah,
I
know I'm not going to get swindled on that, but it's like, you know, we sometimes forget when we back these Kickstarters. It takes a long fucking time to make a video game, don't it, Loki?
Well, it helps if you're actually working on the game.
It
actively.
Sure does. Yes.
It sure does. Or know which game you're actually working on, because, you know, there's that too.
Anyway, we're about to open up the Skype line. Give us a call if you want. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. And you can talk to us about anything we've talked about tonight, or maybe you have something different. While we wait for some calls to come in, I got one more story for you guys here. And, oh, God, it's another loot box story. But this one is very tongue-in-cheek. I like this. It's a mod for the original Doom that turns it into Doom with loot boxes. It's a tongue-in-cheek third-party mod that makes some adjustments to gameplay. It removes weapons and power-ups on the map, and you get a UAC crate instead. To open the crate, you need a key, which you have a chance of obtaining randomly with every enemy kill, or, of course, you can go into the shop and buy keys. Although, since the whole thing is a joke, it just says the servers are down if you try to actually buy any particular key, and that's it. So, there you go. So, with the keys that you can find rarely, you might get a shotgun, but you probably won't get that rocket launcher or BFG or the stuff you really need to beat Doom. Anyway, there's a popular YouTube video showing this off out there by a user from ZDoom forums called, the username is Stronky Tonky is the user that put out this YouTube video where you can see him just get really frustrated at this. He does finally find 10 keys after 600 kills. Anyway, obviously the whole thing is supposed to be very tongue-in-cheek and a parody of the whole loot box thing, but it does kind of make you wonder, God, where could this industry be right now if people had figured this out a while ago? I guess we should be thankful that the 14.4K modem speeds we had back in the day that Doom was released, probably not fast enough to run loot boxes.
Well, here's the other thing, too, since we're talking about loot boxes. So there was an article that was on Polygon talking about Battlefront 2. And so what's going on with Battlefront 2 now? People are AFK grinding this stuff. And so they're doing...
Oh, yeah, so somebody built, like, a contraption.
Yeah, there's a few things. So there's someone that built, like, a robot to kind of push, you know, buttons and move the stick and stuff like that randomly. And then there's just people that are using rubber bands to move the analog sticks so that, you know, they run around in a circle or something like that. And so... Yeah, that's got to hurt the game as well, because now people are basically just doing that, and you know, you're getting in games with people that are AFK, and so that kind of sucks. So, of course, people are going to cheat the system like that because they feel it's unfair.
Well, and now, I mean, for better or for worse, depending on your opinions on this whole thing, Battlefront 2 has become like the kick...
The dead horse? The,
yeah, just the thing that everybody just beats up on. As the symbol of yeah, the scapegoat of or the goat simulator.
Hey, goat simulator is awesome.
No, yeah, goat simulator is awesome. But I think of some of those scenes of goat simulator with the goat flinging through the air with those rubber band physics and stuff. That's what EA's Battlefront game has become with this whole loot box thing. Is it's now everybody's kicking boy or whatever? What do they call it? Kicking dog? I don't know.
Whipping boy.
Whipping boy. That's it. Whipping boy is what this game's become. So I mean, of course, everybody's going to try to exploit it. If you want to exploit our Skype line, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, you can give us a call right now. I'll check in with Loki, see if he has any other last-minute stories. This was kind of a slower news week
with
the holiday.
I don't. And yeah,
kind of surprised we filled a show.
There's all the different sales. I didn't pick anything up on the Steam sales, although I was tempted to, but I don't. I've already bought enough games recently.
This is the first year I'm like, or the first sale. I'm not really motivated to finish the badge either. Like, you have to go in and nominate a game in every category in their meaningless awards. And I'm just like, eh.
I picked up a couple, but I forgot what I got.
I haven't bought anything. I don't know. I need to go back.
I got
and look
picked
at the list.
For a Valve hardware survey. Ooh.
Are they going to send you a free Steam box?
Probably not. I already have one.
They practically started giving those things away at some
They're
point.
They're $5
didn't they?
At.
I paid $5 for mine. Yeah.
I got mine for $1.
I don't want to tell you how much
I'd buy
I
that for $1, and I did.
I got you your controller.
I know. Yes. But I love the controller. The controller has that whole haptic feedback thing, which is in this phone, too, and I love it.
It's been in my phone for an age.
Well, wait.
It came out with the 6S.
With the 6S when they put haptic feedback in, yeah.
But, The controller I have for my Apple TV though is crap. Now I can't think of what it's called either. But it's a really good controller, and I want to see if it'll work with our Steam Link because I have a few games on there that I want to start playing now.
That'll be fun.
I'll have to look up what I have.
Yeah, I haven't got a chance to hook up my Steam Link yet. Maybe I'll leave that this week, but because I was going to use it now for media streaming since we have like in our little box. And my wife was teasing me this week about she's like, oh, I can go get it. We can go get a 4K TV this week if you want. I'm like, okay, well, like the ones she was looking at really cheap, and I was like, oh, it needs to have Ultra HD, you know, it needs to have HDR and all that stuff. And I'm like, man, if we get a 4K TV, then I got to get PlayStation Pro and stuff like that, and I'm like, I don't want to spend that kind of money.
By the way, I have the SteelSeries Nimbus wireless gaming controller.
I also have a SteelSeries controller in the internet.
It is fairly comfortable.
I do not. When do I get mine?
Well, they're basically like an Xbox 360 controller.
That's cool.
But I think it feels a lot better put together. It's got a bit more heft in the hand, you know?
Yes.
Well, gosh, some folks in chat are talking about should be doing a live stream of the Doom loot box thing. I wish I'd thought of that before the show. That would have been a fun live stream to do tonight. I am going to do a live stream after the show tonight. I'm going to do my first time playing. I bought it earlier today because I knew I would buy it eventually. My first time playing Rocket League on Switch, which for those counting, this is now the third time. I take that back. It's only the first time I've bought it. It's the third version I own, but it's the first time I've bought it because it was free on PlayStation Plus. It was gifted to me on Steam, so I bought it on Switch. So, I'm going to check out Rocket League after the show. So you can check that out on my Twitch channel over at Rob Roberts. I bought another like $4 Switch game too, and if I might get into playing that as well. So we'll see. We'll do that.
My kids, by the way, created their own YouTube channel.
Did they really? Let me just put one more call for calls. I don't know if the Skype line is broken. I don't see anybody in chat complaining, but Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype.
I'm getting set up to start vlogging.
See, that blows my mind because you haven't wanted to do video.
Because I can adjust the camera angle on my own vlog.
Well, you could. I will put the camera. You can do whatever you want with it here.
We'll see.
All right. Okay.
But it's, I have a plan for how I want to do it. So it's basically, things will happen.
You totally need to go the route of
having an animated
Gendo,
avatar
where he's just sitting there with the silhouette and the shine on his glasses. Yeah. The way you need to do
I
it.
I could do that. It's Gendo.
All right. Well, our Skype line's not lighting up tonight. I think we might. I mean, I don't check live listener numbers because I don't obsess over things like that anymore. But I could look at people that are checking in over at the Voice Geeks Network at vognetwork.com, because we have a system kind of like Foursquare used to be, where you can actually check into shows and you get like points and you even get loot, not loot boxes, but loot, just fun things for your Vogue Network profile and stuff. And so I see actually we have more people checked in tonight than our last episode, but not as many as 2 weeks ago. So, or whenever we, our show 2 shows ago. So
did you know this?
I would assume the holiday weekend where I just have a lower turnout.
Did you know that Nier Automata is one of the games on the Steam sale right now? 40% off.
How much then?
That makes it $35.99.
I hear a lot of good things about that game.
I'm considering it, but I just had my hair
done.
That's
like game of the year level.
But Okami HD is also $20. It's not on sale, but it's just $20. There's another game, though, that's been kind of catching my interest. And I'm sure it's just pronounced Valhalla, but it's VA11 Hall A. Cyberpunk Bartender Action.
The ROM 2064 guys support that a lot.
Yeah, I've been considering.
Yeah.
I've been considering getting that one. So if anyone's playing it, let me know what you think of it.
Apparently, I was looking at a page called Deep Space Waifu on Steam. I don't remember. I saw a link to that, but it's like 99 cents, and it kind of looks like a... It's a shmup game. It's like a shmup game with like anime babes or something.
Of course, because why not?
I'm not really sure what the point of that is, but it looks silly. It's 99 cents.
Squatch Killa in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, my son keeps asking to start a YouTube channel with myself. You know, hey, some people make a lot of money doing that stuff. Should I say that? Okay, I'm going to say it. I have made my first threshold on Twitch where I'm getting a check.
Huzzah.
Yeah. I don't think I see it till next month, but I have not been doing a lot of streaming lately. Like, I was doing a lot of it when I was pushing First Affiliate, and I've really scaled back, and I apologize, you guys. You guys just know I've had a really, like, rough year, and it's just hard for me to be extroverted several times throughout the week, and I think most of you guys kind of know that, and I really appreciate it. I just feel like, oh, God, I wish I could pull my shit together and do that more for the subscribers that I have, but it's hard.
I would love to do that. I don't have a place to do that. I don't have the gear to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't have a place that I can talk with where the sound isn't going to bother my wife or wake up my kids, because it would have to be like when they were asleep, unless they're going to do stuff on it. And I don't have, like, we just don't have any room in the house to do that. And I would love to start that. I keep thinking about doing it in my garage, but it's not really climate controlled, and it smells like cat box, and it's dirty as fuck, and yeah.
I have an FU. We don't have to have the music for it.
Okay.
FU to people who go on Steam and ask me for free games. Ask me to buy you a game.
What?
I'm going to out this person right now.
No. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Well, okay. I'm going to out you on Twitter if you do this again. The answer will always fucking be no.
Interesting.
If you're someone who I don't know who you are, or you're just a random so-and-so on my list, don't fucking ask me to buy you anything.
Did you add somebody on the list who you kind of didn't know? Like, because
I thought they were like in the community, but they've been on there for a while.
Interesting.
So no, the answer is always going to be no. Unless like your birthday is coming up or something, or I think you're an okay person. If you are just somebody on my friends list, the answer is always fucking no.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Earn your own money.
Gifts are gifts. Let's see. What was I going to say?
I would give you money for food, but I'm not going to give you money for games.
This stream in chat says, I get a free sub from Amazon Prime, so I threw it at Rob's channel so he can get monies. Well, I really appreciate that. And I'll tell you what, the money's just going to go right back to OLR. Well, I mean, I also, Bobby and I kind of both have some costs that we pay for Vogue Network, so I actually pay for our radio feed that goes out there. Bobby takes care of all the website stuff. and other stuff too. I'm drawing a very crude line, but that's, you know, so the money's going to go right back into that. And we are looking at doing some upgrades here with Loki and talking about the laptop. I think when that happens, I think I will be, this mixing board has served us very well, but it has also served us for, I remember when we placed the first mixing board, this was 2006, this mixing board. Do you remember Dark Saga when this mixing board came into play?
It wasn't cheap.
Yeah, so we'll probably replace that with something instead of analog, something digital.
I'm buying a game right now.
Are you really?
I'm buying 20XX.
MXC points this out. One of my friends has like 5,000 games on Steam, and randos used to ask him for free games before going private. Oh, maybe somebody can see the size of the library. That's kind of interesting.
Well, fuck them. They just still know. You can ogle my library all you fucking want. Look and covet.
I do technically have extra Steam keys for a lot of games because I bought so many bundles that I'm sitting on multiple copies of a lot of things, but I haven't really...
But you'll do that on your terms when you want to get those out. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I will be that stingy bitch.
It's fine. SJ100 Matt in chat says, the mixing board survived the Drewnami mixing board table destruction. Actually, I think that was the one before this. You remember the black mixing board we had? The old mixing... Okay. For those that have seen the YouTube, I know we're just rambling tonight, but this is what happens when you don't call. We ramble. So the black mixing board, you can see, that's the old one. And you can actually see that in our rarely used YouTube channel. No, I take that back. We actually have a stock of back episodes on there. Jason was working very hard. It was in the NBC, the Channel 3,
yes.
The Oh, It's So Much Fun video.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is on YouTube on our Orange Lounge radio channel. So that was the first mixing board. That was the black one. Now we have a gray one that Jamie just snapped a picture of, so maybe she's posting
it's
it.
It's going to go on my Insta.
There you go. So, but we're looking at least I'm thinking about, because you'll notice it's all analog, and so I'm thinking about something maybe more digital. So we'll see.
Well, and I know we've talked about me having a second setup with my MacBook.
You may take this and vlog away with it or whatever you want to do with it.
Well, but it also would be good, I think, to have a fallback for travel, because I can just, you know... Yep. We've tested using GarageBand.
Yep.
And it was all right.
It was all right. It wasn't the...
It was that mic that was more the difference.
Yeah, it wasn't quite the clear quality that this show has, but it's good for... Like, if we want to do something at this DDR tournament coming up, and we need something quick and dirty, it'll work.
I ordered an iPhone condenser mic for vlogging.
Yes, I've actually thought about getting one of those too for the conventions and stuff.
I ordered a cheap one to test it out, but there's another one that was recommended that's about $50, but it's more of an omnidirectional and you can change it.
Yeah.
So that one's on my list too, but I needed something, you know, I'm not going to spend anything big because my iPhone 10 I'm going to get in January, so.
There you go.
Oh, I've also got a Steadicam ready to order too.
What's a Steadicam? Oh, for your vlog, because you want to do vlogging.
Well, the good thing with the Steadicam is that it uses a counterweight so that no matter how you swing it, you have a steady spread the whole time.
I notice iPhone 10. I can't compare it to anything Android because I only know what I have, and that's iPhone.
You can't compare awesome to suck.
But the video quality is really good. Like, I was filming stuff at that, which, by the way, we never got to talk about, and this is what you get when you don't call. Dark Sakura wasn't able to talk about the Trixie and Katya's high school reunion thing with me on the show last week, but I shot some video there and I noticed, wow, like it doesn't shake. Like the anti-shake stuff is really good.
Image stabilization in there.
Yeah. And then like as I'm panning back and forth, it's really smooth I'm pretty impressed. Like I can't see why Androids don't have something comparable.
Well, better for $1,000.
Yes. I'm just really impressed at the fucking technology in those things.
So if anyone's curious, it's on my Instagram, which is just Dark Sakura. So I put up the board in all of its dusty glory.
I need to get some can of compressed air and give that thing a bath.
You need microfiber cloths. That's a pledge.
You know, my other thing is that I don't want to move any of the knobs.
I know.
I take a picture of the way it is so I can set everything back.
I know.
All right. All right. Well, the phone's not ringing. So that means you ain't calling or it's broken. But again, I don't see anyone complaining. But that's fine. Y'all are just being shy. It's cool. It's cool. Maybe next week. We're going to wrap up the show for now, though. That's it. We'll see you in 7 days, though. We'll be back here. I may be running a little late because I'm going to be running back from San Francisco in the Ingress event happening there, because technically the big hoedown showdown is Saturday, but then Sunday is the mission day. Now, with as long as I've been doing Ingress, I have yet to do a single fucking mission day. I missed the one in Chicago because I was flying home on Sunday. So I'm doing this one. Even if this show's going to start late because of traffic, I'm fucking doing mission day to get that fucking badge on my fucking profile that doesn't mean anything. So there it is. So I think it'll be fine, though. I think if I turn in the mission day thing by like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, that'll give me time to get home. I just may need Loki to produce next week episode.
That may be I want to do a mission thingy. I've never done one.
Come up to the city on Sunday. Even if you don't want to do the Ingress hoedown throwdown on Saturday, you can come do the mission day thingy.
Are you staying in the city?
Probably. I have to beg and plead my friend that I stay with, but I think I'd ran it by him already, and he knows.
So. I don't want to drive by myself.
I'm sorry. Maybe who else plays here?
No one who would go with me.
You never know.
We'll see.
All right. That's the spirit.
I'm not going to ride with people I don't know, like, more than fleeting.
No, I understand. I understand. All right. So there we go. So Squatch Killers in chat saying, yes, I will be doing mission day. I know if anybody knows what I'm going through. He knows what I'm going through. So if my show is late next week, then it's all Squatch Killers' fault, just so you know. Or his wife's fault. Anyway, I hope she's listening. All right. I like that. SJ100 Matt's like, can you just give him your phone?
Hell the fuck
hours?
No.
All right. There we go. We're going to wrap up. Thanks, you guys. If you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or five about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But like when the phones don't light up, we can't get those voices out there unless you let us know. You can always email us. You can tweet us at OLR. You can Facebook us at Orange Lounge Radio. You can use the website to send us a message because now we know that works. Remember when it was broken for 4 years? Well, we got our first email tonight that came from the website, so it works. So you can do all those things. But just tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we don't have a big website or Fox News or CBS backing up this program. So it's just us. That's it. Help us spread the word.
I was thought of something really dirty to say.
All right. Well, then we'll go around and get everybody's final thought. Oh, yeah. 5-star review on iTunes. Those places goes a long way, too. We'll go around and get everybody's final thought. Since Jamie has something to say,
I'm not going
to
say anything dirty because I'm bad.
We'll start with Loki.
All right. I guess I will. Maybe I'll play VR games this week.
There you go. VR Skyrim. Fusroda.
I didn't buy it because I've already bought Skyrim and Skyrim HD, and I have Skyrim HD on my PC, and I haven't bothered. I was going to hold off and purchase it on PC someday when, you know, it's out, because I think it's going to be better, because on the PlayStation, it's just kind of okay, and eventually I do want to get a VR headset for my PC. I just haven't done it yet, so I'm going to hold off. I don't need it. I have a bunch of PlayStation VR games I just bought that I don't need another one.
My final thought is, and I'm only thinking this because I can see my collection of fridge magnets, and I have a fridge magnet of this lady, and I was just going to say, Gilda Radner was fucking awesome.
Yes, she was.
She was so fucking awesome. Anyway, Dark Soccer, your final thought.
I'm going to go harass your cat now.
It sounds good. Just get one of those fish cake things you had that he was...
I digested them.
All right.
I'll burp fish at him.
Ew. All right,
I like it.
That's it.
Cats have no sense of sweetness.
We're done. We'll be back in 7 days later.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.